No, it doesn't. Oh, don't bring politics into it, Harry. We were giving everyone a break. I'm going to have to leave it there just because we're out of time. But Harry Benson, it's always a pleasure to speak to you. So, Research Director at the Marriage Foundation. You'll never guess he's walked into the studio. We didn't know where he's been for the last week and a half. There was some talk of half-term and kids. But Mr. John Holmes is back.
Off. Just away. Just away. Just
out. How long's your kids half-term?
Just out of here. You know.
You had enough of the election, did you? Now you've come back.
Yeah, I've been spending my entire week researching the election because I wanted to come back fully informed just in time for polling day. How are you?
Very, very well. Good. Glad to have you back. Well, I have to say we've had a top time with your top replacement.
Yes.
Oh, you're unhappy about that.
Well, I haven't.
This is like if you're a supply teacher's filled in and the teacher's really unhappy, everyone likes the supply teacher more.
More, I know. Well, I'm just going to have to deal with it. That's the way it goes. Normal service, however, will be resumed, whatever normal is.
That's true. What is the vaguely normal service on your show this afternoon?
Well, there's going to be a bit on, a little bit on Diane Abbott. There's going to be a little bit on Theresa May, just balancing it all up there, and other things.
Okay.
Lots
and of
course, things.
The last day we can talk about the election, tomorrow I'm back at 10 a.m. Election, a free show. I know.
What are you going to talk about?
God knows what we're going to talk about. It's going to be great, though. And then at 10 p.m. tomorrow night, I'm back with you again. Sorry about that, but we're going to be doing the election night show. Loads of fabulous guests taking in the exit polls and the first early results to see what the actual outcome of all this chit-chat has been about in the last few weeks. Meanwhile, back with you just after the 1 o'clock news. Mr. John Holmes is back in the hot seat. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Join the conversation party.
Countdown to the election on Talk Radio.
These days, there's a better deal to be had online for almost everything. So when it comes to selling our cars, why do we go running back to the last century and trade it in? Why not stay right here and sell your car to WeBuyAnyCar.com? Then use the money to get a better deal on your next car. It's quick, it's easy, and there's a branch near you. Change the way you sell your car. Enter your reg number now at WeBuyAnyCar.com. Terms and conditions apply. See WeBuyAnyCar.com/info.
Score yourself a winner with The Sun. Join me, The Sun's chief football reporter, Neil Ashton, for all the latest stats, chats and spats. Our coverage is more pep than Guardiola, tackles opponents tougher than Terry, and scores more winners than our mates Zlatan. Plus, don't miss your number one football pullout. It's goals every Monday, Wednesday, Saturday and Sunday. Go on, pick up The Sun today for just 50p.
If you pay for something, you should get to keep it, right? Yet with most mobile networks, you have to say goodbye to any data you haven't used at the end of every month. So say hello to Sky Mobile, the only network to automatically roll over all your unused data every month. And no matter what plan you choose, your data is yours to keep for 3 years. Plans start from £5 a month, and Sky TV customers also get free unlimited calls and texts. Search Sky Mobile and say hello to rolling your data on from £5 a month. Sky, believe in better. 12-month minimum term. Free calls and texts to standard UK numbers as a Sky TV customer. Standard price, £10. Acceptable use policy and terms apply. Redeem data per 1 gigabyte.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Talk Radio.
At 1 o'clock Wednesday. Good afternoon. I am John Holmes. Here's Victoria. She's got the latest news.
Thanks, John. Coming up, Abbott temporarily out of the shadow cabinet. 8 confirmed dead after London attack. And a special service for Ronnie Corbett.
Talk Radio.
A shadow cabinet colleague of Diane Abbott has told Talk Radio he understands she has a long-term health condition. Former shadow policing minister Lynn Brown is standing in as shadow home secretary. Ms Abbott has tweeted saying she will rejoin the fray soon. Labour's Barry Gardner insists she hasn't been replaced because of interview gaffes.
She's a feisty performer over many, many years, and I think everybody's aware that she hasn't been performing up to par over the past couple of weeks, and I think we now know the reason for it. And I wish her well. I hope that, you know, she is able to get appropriate treatment to manage her condition.
Leaders of Britain's biggest parties are crisscrossing the country in a whirlwind last-minute bid for votes ahead of tomorrow's general election. The Lib Dem leader Tim Farron is calling on people to vote tactically to avoid a Tory landslide, while Theresa May insists she will protect national security. But UKIP leader Paul Nuttall has told Talk Radio the Conservatives are copying his party.
We have led the agenda in this election. I'm in a situation now whereby I go out and say something, and 24 hours later, I end up with the Prime Minister saying almost exactly the same. It's a crazy situation whereby we're influencing government policy without not necessarily being in the House of Commons.
In other news, detectives searching for a French man missing since Saturday's London Bridge attack have recovered a body from the River Thames, taking the death toll up to 8. It's not been formally identified, but Xavier Thomas' family has been told. The Halifax is predicting there's still scope for house prices to edge up this year despite weak growth. Property values increased by 3.3% in the 3 months to May compared with the year before. And Dame Barbara Windsor, Joanna Lumley and Jimmy Tarbuck are among the stars who've attended a special service to celebrate the life and work of Ronnie Corbett this lunchtime. The 85-year-old comedian, who was best known for being part of the Two Ronnies, died in March last year.
Hi, Victoria.
Hi, John. Welcome back.
Thanks very much indeed. How are you?
I'm a bit tired, but fine. How are you?
A bit tired, but fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, fine. Good. Good. Not good that you're tired, but good that you're fine.
Good.
Just to be clear. How's everything?
Fine.
Yeah, any more dating news you want to share?
No, I don't want to share anything of that on air.
Just asking. Just being polite and everything.
Well, that's a bit of a weird thing to ask me straight off the bat.
Is it?
Yeah, how's your love life?
Yeah. I've been on any dates.
No?
No.
Maybe you should.
Yeah. Really? Okay, 3 minutes past 1 o'clock. That's what time it is. It's a Wednesday, in case you were wondering. And now Victoria's got some weather for us. Weather.
Talk Radio, national weather.
I just remembered that you got some weather.
I'm glad you remembered. Yeah. I actually thought you'd forget.
No.
I was looking forward to interjecting. But anyway, here it is. Dry, sunny and less windy for many this afternoon, with rain clearing in the northeast, but further rain from the southwest of England later. Highs of 20 degrees.
It's hot in here.
I know. It's because Julia's been fuming again.
It's her angry hot rhetoric, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The crosser she gets, the hotter the studio is.
No, I've turned it down.
Yeah.
The aircon.
Oh.
It's not possible to turn her down.
No, I'm aware.
And I wouldn't try.
No, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't know where to start.
You wouldn't turn Julia down?
No. Anyway, so who's got the sport? Is it is Ben back?
Yes.
It's Ben with the pre-recorded sport.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. It's understood Manchester United have had a £52 million bid for Alvaro Morata rejected by Real Madrid. The European champions want over £78 million for the Spanish striker. If United fail to agree a deal for Morata, it's thought they'll instead try to sign highly rated forward Andrea Belotti from Torino. The British and Irish Lions have suffered a big setback after losing their second tour match in New Zealand. Warren Gatland's side were beaten 22-16 by Super Rugby franchise Auckland Blues at Eden Park. Despite today's defeat, head coach Warren Gatland remains upbeat.
I thought it was a big improvement from Saturday, and that team's been together, and we will continue to improve it. Yeah, we would have learnt a lot from tonight, learnt a lot about the opposition, and we will keep improving.
The Lions are next in action against the Crusaders in Christchurch on Saturday. Finally, Novak Djokovic is out of the French Open, beaten in the quarterfinals in straight sets by Frenchman Dominic Thiem. Britain's world number one Andy Murray takes on Kei Nishikori this afternoon. That's the latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
Thank you, Ben. There, Ben with the pre-recorded sport. Okay, Wednesday.
Yes.
That's right, I've lost track. Wednesday afternoon. It's Talk Radio. I'm John Holmes. Let's do this thing.
Talk Radio. If you won on Lotto, what would you get your mum?
I think the best thing for my mum would be to have her family around her all the time. So I'd probably use some modern technology to try and duplicate all those kids so she can have us around her all the time. Because that's what's most important to her, is being with us. I'd clone us all. Yeah. I don't think the world's ready for that, actually.
Lotto. Who wins if you win? Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 16 or over. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Previously on the John Holmes Show.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Talk Radio. You could well be sent by email.
In the package hole.
On his marginal mystery tour. You're very anti the colour blue. You'd like to see it jailed, shining his election spotlight.
Get down, ship.
The I guessed the Toddler Pops certificate. Like they were modern DJ scratch mixing the electorate up. So it's not like Radio 2. While I assemble my nose peg, please could you play The Rock's speech about Dream Stealers at WrestleMania?
It's a very well-known talent competition.
I suppose that actually makes sense.
Chicken and chips, everything's gonna be alright.
Yeah.
And
You open the door and you step inside. We're inside our hearts.
This is your life. Good to the last drop. Doesn't get any better than this.
John Holmes.
The radio is one of the outstanding developments of the 20th century.
Radio.
This isn't a seminar. This isn't a weekend retreat. Nothing is static. Everything is a ball.
Who are you?
John Holmes.
John Holmes.
With no power comes no responsibility.
There.
Talk radio.
When I am bound together on a journey that will twist the very fabric of nature.
So, good afternoon then to you, and hello, we are back. Running through the wheat fields of afternoon radio, skipping through the bit between 1 and 4 o'clock like Theresa May's childhood misdemeanour there. Not a great admission, is it, to be honest, that? The question she was asked on the ITV debate, of course, what's the naughtiest thing you've ever done? And her response, of course, the response from a Tory, I ran through some wheat, right? Be honest, I miss the old days when the answer would have been put my thingy in the mouth of a severed dead pig's head. Now that is an answer. Run through a field of wheat, call yourself a Tory, what? Perhaps they just cut away from the end of her actual answer, maybe that's what happened. Which was, I ran through a field of wheat and threw a puppy into a combine harvester. And then when its head came off, I took it down the Bullingdon Club to see if anyone wanted to have a go with it. For balance, of course, we need to know...
Please!
Well, obviously. I mean, obviously. For balance, what we need to do is know the naughtiest thing that Jeremy Corbyn has ever done, right? Which I imagine the answer is Diane Abbott. Although she's lost count of the number of times. Hello! We're back!
Yeah.
Diane Abbott, of course, replaced this morning as Shadow Home Secretary by Lynn Brown due to ill health. She's taking a break from the campaign. For balance as well, we make no comment. Anyway, welcome along. I am John Holmes. It is Talk Radio in the afternoons, and I expect you're wondering what we have planned in today's breach of human rights laws. Well, with Headline Hijack, that's what is on the way. Allow me to explain. At 2 o'clock, there will be the news. It will be said by Victoria out of this mouth.
This mouth.
That's the one. But it will contain, as regular listeners know, a made-up news lie. And you're the one, yes, you, my friend, invited to make that news lie up. Just using words and phrases that you know. Just a sentence here, a paragraph there, of something that sounds vaguely like the news. And it could well get into the 2 o'clock bulletin, masquerading as truth. Here's the number, 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
At Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you like.
There's the return of the Diversity Paper Review. Yes, it is a look through the papers. But with the politically correct bonus of that review being brought to you each day by a different diversity. Today, we welcome back Kyle. And Kyle is English, Jamaican and Welsh. How's that for a diversity target? Naturally, we will be keeping you up to date on all of the election business, of course, the final day of campaigning today. Voting Eve, of course, today. And it's traditional, don't forget this, traditional tonight to leave a mince pie and a glass of sherry out for all the candidates tonight before you go to bed. Each and every one of them for balance. There will be today's final round of Follow the Leader. We've been following the leaders around the country as the election campaign's been underway. Today, where are they and what are they doing? Follow the Leader later. There's the other day's big stories analysed through the medium of Japanese poetry. It's a regular thing. We bring you the news in haikus. It renders it easy to understand due to the strict number of syllables. 575. That's a haiku. What better way to explain the news? You might think that children's television programme News Round is good at explaining the news, but even that is complicated compared to the haiku. There will be work experience punditry. That is where we bring you one of our work experiences. Today, Hannah, she'll be rounding up the hipster nonsense. If it pops up and is bearded, she'll have the details of it. It's a roundup of hipster nonsense. There's the big debate at 3. All your reactions. Victoria's bonus news. Today I'm reliably informed it's animal news.
Yes.
Yeah. So if it's happening in the world of animal, Victoria will be dealing with it. Oh, and also, as Harvard University throw out some prospective students who've written what they consider to be ethnic slurs on Facebook. I don't know if you've seen it. We're going to be playing a game of banned or perceived ethnic slur later. I told you we were back. That is going to be at around 3:45. Plus, we bring you guests. Comedian Will Franken will join us to promote something or other. That's today's PR exercise, dressed up as an interview. And as it is the final day of campaigning, we'll be joined by cross-party MP, well, he's a candidate, not an MP, of course, at the moment, Magnus Turner. He's an independent candidate. He's formerly of the Tories, formerly of Labour, formerly Lib Dem, Greens, UKIP. He's been all of those parties. Now he's an independent candidate, joining us on election eve to give us an overview of tomorrow's booths. So let's meet the personnel. Ginger Dave is here.
Hello.
Don't know why.
Don't be surprised.
Well, I am surprised. You're never here, and I don't know
right
why you're here when you are. Fair enough. It's a fair point. Yeah. Ass Broadcast is through the glass. She's through the
miserable window.
Yeah.
Hi, Cass. Have you cheered up at all?
Yeah, loads.
Great, yeah. She showed me her arm earlier, and it's peeling off. It's weird. Have you seen it?
Someone spilt water on her, I think.
She's melting. She's melting like a witch.
She showed me her chest, which is also peeling off.
Oh, God. Chloe's on the buttons. Hi, Chloe.
Hi.
Any bits of you peeling off, Chloe, just out of interest?
Not right now.
Okay, good. Victoria's got the news. Hello, Victoria.
Hi, John.
Same question.
No.
Okay. Paid intern Cornelius.
Hello.
Hi there. How are
hi,
you?
Hi, John. How are welcome you? Back.
Thanks, mate. Thanks,
are you all right?
I'm all right. You're
and
all right.
I must say, I must prefer this slot since you went part time.
Yeah, great. I am John Holmes. I've been ill. Leave me alone. This is Talk Radio in the afternoon. Like Diane Abbott, you wouldn't pick on her. For balance, other candidates could be ill. I don't know. So it's Talk Radio in the afternoons. Then welcome along. And what we should be doing now is starting with some music. But there's a reason for it, of course. It links to today's big story. That is how we get into the big story from the news, by bringing you a little bit of music. And there's clues in that music as to what the big story is. All you have to do is try and figure it out. Just for fun, play along at home. That's what you have to do. They'll be doing it in the studio. Dave's going to be working hard on it today.
Yes.
So listen carefully, Dave. Okay. This song links to today's big story, but how? It's Harvey Danger. And it's Flagpole City. So there it is.
You told them all I was crazy.
That's Harvey Danger.
Cut off my legs, now I'm an amputee. God damn you.
Bye. It's called Flagpole Sitter.
But I'm not well. And I'm so hot.
But how does it link to today's big story, of course?
Cause I'm in hell.
So So, Ginger producer, occasional producer Dave, what?
Yes, occasional presenter John Holmes.
Yes, this works, of course, because there are clues within somehow to get us into today's big story.
Got it. It's really easy today.
So this is let's give it a go. All right,
easy. Then, yeah. All right, so it's Harvey Danger, Flagpole Sitter, right?
Correct, correct.
Best known, of course, as the theme tune to Peep Show, the Channel 4 sitcom.
That's right.
Word that you would often associate with peeping is Tom.
Yes.
Famous Tom Hanks, of course.
Tom Hanks, the actor.
Hollywood actor.
Yes, good.
Famous for films like Forrest Gump, Captain Phillips, and Philadelphia.
Yes.
Philadelphia, of course, not just a city, is it?
It's also a cheese.
It's also a spreadable cheese.
Yes.
Other cheeses you might get, cheddar. Cheshire, Red Leicester.
Yes.
Leicester, of course, famous for being the home of Walker's Crisps.
Right.
And the face of that is obviously Gary Lineker.
Yes.
Who presents Match of the Day on the BBC. Sure. Match of the Day obviously covers a lot of football's biggest tournaments and cups, including the FA Cup.
Yep.
Other cups that you might have heard of, the Ryder Cup.
Yes.
That little chipped one from Beauty and the Beast. And, of course, one that no one's ever heard of, the America's Cup, which brings us to today's news.
Yes.
That New Zealand's boat in the America's Cup in Bermuda has capsized.
No, nowhere near. It is, in fact, just that the word flag is in that, and the what we're going to be talking about, of course, is the sort of what many are considering the woeful lapse in security of MI5 and MI6, when, indeed, one of those terrorists was flagged by Italian police on a European watch list, but nothing was done about it.
Oh.
That's how we get to the big story.
Yeah, it's easier, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's what we're going to be doing next. We're going to be talking to a security expert to find out exactly, if we can, what the problems were and how it came to, how on earth can people on watch lists get back into the UK? What's going wrong with the security services? If indeed anything is going wrong, and how do we find ourselves in this situation? We're going to be talking to a guest about it next on Talk Radio in the afternoons. I'm John Holmes.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Up-to-the-minute breaking news and instant reaction on the radio station that's got everyone talking.
You might very well think that. You know I couldn't possibly comment.
Talk Radio.
Hey, I'm Lee Reedy. This song's about Oasis drinks.
I'm selling notes, singing this song. Your liquid loving stops you feeling wrong. I sold my soul to the marketing team. But the money's good and the Oasis drinks are free. Oasis, it's hashtag precious stuff. Oasis, buy a bottle cause the sip just ain't enough.
I'm there as she's rushed down the corridor of A&E. Her bloodied hands are hanging limp from the side of the hospital bed. She desperately needs a transfusion. She keeps asking for her fiancé. We turn the corner. And I'm here, finally, in the snack aisle. I pick up a selection of crisps before realising that I forgot the potatoes. Back to the fruit and veg aisle it is, then. As a blood donor, you can save someone's life while going about yours. Register at blood.co.uk.
Want to know if you've had PPI? Find out with our free PPI check. We had claimed back PPI in the past, but it turns out there were some lenders we hadn't checked. The service Stanton Fisher provided was absolutely brilliant. We didn't have a lot to do, and the results spoke for themselves. We received over £2,500. So text CHECK to 80800 for your free PPI check.
Have I got PPI.com?
That's CHECK to 80800.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
The westbound M4 in Newport's heavy. There's an accident near Calder between junctions 24 and 25, and the inside two lanes are closed. There's still congestion on the A3 as you head north through Thursley towards Guildford. The queues start near the Hindhead Tunnel. It's after earlier problems. All restrictions have been lifted. Emergency works in Toaster keep the A43 closed southbound near the A5 and the northbound M6 towards Birmingham slow. A lane still closed, junction 6 to 7 because of an accident and a spillage. I'm Gerina Adams.
Hi, I'm the super friendly but super deadly box jellyfish. Now, everyone knows about my long tentacles laced with paralysing venom, but I bet you didn't know I have 24 eyes. Yes, cost me a fortune in contact lenses. That and all the negative publicity really gets me down. Sometimes I just want a hug. Come on, guys. Who wants a hug? No?
Should have gone to Specsavers. Get your favourite contact lenses at Specsavers prices. Subject to suitability and availability. See in store for conditions.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Dial up and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, good afternoon. It is Talk Radio that you're listening to. I am John Holmes, and yes, let's talk about today's big story. So, good afternoon, then. It's just coming up to a time, and, well, we learned today, what's in the news today? Diane Abbott, of course, has stepped aside from her role as Shadow Home Secretary. Lynn Brown is in for her. We learned this is due to an illness. She's not been well for some time. That's what we understand. I mean, I wasn't well either just recently, but I can't really blame my poor performance on that. Because my poor performance is there when I'm perfectly well, too. But I am back now. And, of course, I arrived back to find out when I was gone, there's been another terror attack. For her part and for balance, Theresa May has been running not through the fields of wheat like when she was a child, but instead running roughshod, some say, over human rights, trampling them into the dirt. But there are questions to answer. Of course. What is it that meant that one of the London Bridge attackers was stopped from travelling to Syria, then put on a watch list, this was in Italy, of course, the details of which were then passed to MI5 and MI6, yet he was seemingly then allowed back into the UK with few checks, it would appear. Now, admittedly, radical Islamic terrorists are adept at covering up their beliefs and actions. For instance, we know that one of them cleverly hid in a Channel 4 documentary about jihadis called The Jihad is Next Door. I mean, who'd have thought of looking there? But rightly, there is anger over perceived failures of the security services. But is it that simple? Well, on the line is counter-terror consultant Simon Trundle to talk to us about this. Hello, Simon.
Afternoon, John.
Afternoon. Thanks for joining us. So this is interesting, isn't it? This has cropped up before, that we hear that security services have people on the list, and we've spoken about it before on the programme. And before, we talked about it being a question of numbers. There are, you know, these 23,000 or whatever it is, people that they're having to keep tabs on, and obviously some are going to slip through the net. But this one appears to be slightly different, because we know now that it was flagged, not just by members of the public, but also by the European watch list. So what are we to understand, Simon?
Well, there are many individuals that are flagged up, and when they're flagged up, an assessment has to be done on them. And the assessment is, who are the known associates? Are they in touch with anybody of interest as well? So are we gathering a cell of people who are of interest? Have they any indication of being involved in planning previous attacks or planning for future attacks? All of that assessment has to be done, and then the assessment results in a grading. And the grading, without going into confidential details, the grading will be something from along the lines of a person of low interest, a person of high interest, and somebody who's a critical target for surveillance. And we cannot, in the upper two categories, wouldn't have enough resources to be able to cover the thousands and thousands of people that are in the kind of lower watch list. Keep an eye, if their name pops up, if they're seen associating with somebody of interest, then they'll be elevated into the next section.
I see. But
so that's the way it has to work. It's kind of graded.
But in terms of the grading, well, I mean, many people listening would sort of say, yeah, but being on an actual watch list and stopped in Italy, and that being flagged to our security services, it seems to be a category above, you know, an idle part of an investigation. You'd think that would raise more alarm than others.
Yeah, there are things that need to be investigated in this. There's also the issue that we don't yet know under which name he was flagged up, because it now appears that he used two separate names.
Right.
So if he was flagged up on the one name and the second name wasn't made known to the security services, then, of course, people can get across borders once they have the documentation and paperwork.
Right.
So it's a question of investigating what information was passed on and how was it handled. If it was mishandled, if it was badly handled, and we drop the ball here, then it's going to have to be said. It's going to have to be said, and we have to tighten up our procedures. And who does one person decide it, or do we send this individual through three or four separate scrutinies, so three or four fresh sets of eyes can have a look at them? And if they're all unanimously say, you know, low-level interest, but if one of them flags up and says, no, I'm concerned over his actions, his behaviour, his speech, And we want them in a higher category, then that would perhaps be the best way to go.
Yeah, and is it a case then of resources? Because, you know, we've heard this before as well, after other attacks, where members of the public, members of the community that these people are involved in have become worried about their use of rhetoric, their use of language, and have phoned the terrorism hotline, but again, seemingly to no avail.
The background checking that will go on. Will you know, when people do phone in, it isn't a waste of time, and I encourage people to phone in on the terrorism hotline or contact local police. You know, it doesn't go to waste. It may not appear to go to be acted upon, but it depends on which level the investigation into an individual is. If we were to tackle at the same level of priority everybody who's ever watched or read ISIS, either watch ISIS videos, mm-hmm. radical videos, listen to radical teaching, or read some radical publications online, we would be dealing in the tens of thousands, because young people have been told, oh, look at this, it's amazing, you'll see guys shooting at police here in this video, and you'll see them even beheading. And people actually watch these videos out of curiosity and interest. It's trying to find the ones that are intent on acting. And as I said the other day, if we looked at everybody who ever watched porn on the internet and tried to categorize them in order to identify those who may actually wish to act upon what they're seeing and carry out rapes and assaults, then you can imagine the difficulty that there is. There are just tens of thousands, and we have to filter them down. We need to be better at that, and we need to give as much resource to the security services as possible.
Yeah, well, I mean, I see the point you're trying to make to equate the two there, but I mean, it's the figures are, I suppose, in terms of people who watch this stuff and people who are caught with it on their phones and people who are actively, seemingly actively supporting ISIS. And I go back to this Channel 4 documentary where we learned today as well that the police didn't ask for the footage and details of the people involved in the documentary to be handed over. They were given the opportunity to ask and then sort of didn't. And you have to ask, well, why? It's a programme called The Jihadis Next Door about people who sort of are on the fringes of this extremism. And you have to say, well, you know, why wasn't that followed up?
It's a good question, and it'll have to be investigated. More than likely, because they looked at the individuals and the way they were posturing on the programme. The programme was all about them literally swaggering about and saying, you know, we're a bunch of hard men. They're less likely to be the ones then who will turn to action, because it's the quiet ones, the one that's not in the public line. Because it could have been that each one of those people who appeared in that programme would have suspected that they would have been followed and they would have been surveilled. Whether they were or not is another question.
Well, obviously not in the case of one of them, because he was in the programme and then turned out to be one of the London Bridge attackers. So.
Yeah, sometime later, there he is. He's leading. We've assumed that he's the leader. We don't know whether he's the leader or a follower of one of the others in this three-person group. That's part of the investigation at the moment, is to try and find out who is the actual leader of this group. Or did somebody external to them trigger them and say, now's the day you do it.
All right. And in terms of just finally then, on the question of that the sort of resource question, is throwing money at it an answer here?
You don't pick up risk assessors and security services personnel off the street. It takes a long time to skill people up in that role. And if I could use the example at the previous government, the Theresa May Conservative government, gave some money, additional funding to the security services just for that reason. And then they went and started recruiting. But the quality that you recruit, and it takes a long time to bed in, and it's very similar to the recruitment of 1,500 additional armed police officers. The problem there was that several who applied failed the course. Others weren't interested in applying because they were worried about being prosecuted for manslaughter if they fired a weapon.
Yeah.
And so instead of 1,500, we probably have about 400 come through. But there's still vacancies for 1,100, which need to be filled, and you need the right person for the job.
So the answer is what, then? Is it, if it's not a question, as you say, it's not a question of necessarily the money, but what do we do?
The money is required in order to upskill people, in order to recruit more people, but it isn't the immediate answer. You know, pouring money in, we wouldn't see the benefit in the end of June. We would see it in years to come. And it's a question of freeing up the resources we have at the moment, whether we need
to have a different tack. We have a lot of armed police, whether it's the Civil Nuclear Authority, whether it's British Transport Police, whether it's in other specialist areas, Atomic Weapons Establishment. We have a lot of very well-trained armed police, but they're actually doing static roles on static sites. Whether we need to change that and put in a different type of armed guard force, whether it's even military, hand it over to military, and free up those officers. So that would be an immediate way of increasing the number of our firearms-trained officers we would have available for public.
Which would require increasing the security level as well. Simon Thinson, thank you very much indeed. That's Simon Trundle, counter-terrorist consultant there, talking about the MI5, MI6 story, which he's absolutely right. It's now an ongoing investigation, of course, into how exactly these people fell through that particular net. In the next half an hour of the programme, here's what's coming. The Diversity Paper Review. A man who is English, Jamaican and Welsh. That's a couple right there. We'll be in. Kyle's joining us to go through the papers. It makes us one of the most diverse programmes in all of broadcasting. And Headline Hijack on the way as well. Of course, your made-up news stories for the Bulletin at 2 o'clock. But at just after 1:30, Victoria's here with the latest news on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
Last-minute campaigning's underway ahead of tomorrow's general election. Leaders of the main parties are out in force in an attempt to woo voters. Liberal Democrat leader Tim Farron says he feels his party's in a good position to do well against the Conservatives and Labour.
Tomorrow is a chance for people to say we're not going to give Theresa May a blank cheque to deliver all those cuts to all that we hold dear. And the Liberal Democrats, I think, the one opposition party that can hope to go forward in this election in the most powerful way in many parts of the country to deliver that message.
Theresa May has told a Tory rally in Norfolk she's the right person to handle negotiations for leaving the EU.
Who do you trust to actually have the strong and stable leadership that is going to deliver the best deal for Britain in Europe? Because Brexit matters. Brexit is the basis of everything else. We need to get that Brexit deal right.
UKIP leader Paul Nuttall's accused the Prime Minister of copying his policies. Well, Jeremy Corbyn's told supporters in Glasgow he's hoping for a very historic Labour majority. It comes as Shadow Home Secretary Diane Abbott's been temporarily replaced in the role by Lynn Brown. Her shadow cabinet colleague Barry Gardiner's told Talk Radio she's been diagnosed with a long-term health condition. Elsewhere, Scotland Yard has confirmed the number of people killed in Saturday's London Bridge terror attack has risen to 8. It follows the discovery of a body by police searching for a missing Frenchman who's thought to have been thrown into the River Thames during the atrocity. Xavier Tamar's girlfriend was seriously injured after being hit by the van. And Donald Trump has announced he'll nominate former Justice Department official Christopher Wray as his choice to be the next FBI director. The president's tweeted, saying his pick to replace James Comey is a man of impeccable credentials. The weather dry, sunny and less windy for many this afternoon with rain clearing in the northeast, but further rain from the southwest of England later on. Warm with highs of 20 degrees is more in half an hour.
Fewer. Thank you, Victoria. Thank you very much indeed. What credentials?
It's about Donald Trump. That's what he's saying about the potential new FBI director.
Yes, but what were they?
Impeccable.
There. I just wondered why you went impeccable, just to emphasise the impeccability of the whole thing, presumably.
I mean, I think you're putting far too much thought into this, more thought than I did.
Well, we know.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, French Tickler has messaged.
Oh yeah.
Hi there, Talk Radio, Victoria. What news is it today? We said this earlier, French Tickler. Yeah. But French Tickler said that he can't get his app to work, so he hasn't been listening.
Hi.
So, but he still wants to know what bonus news. Victoria, for those that don't know, brings us bonus news at 3:30 every day because the bulletins are shorter than they used to be, so she has to make the time up because she gets paid the same. And on consecutive days, we bring you animal, vegetable and mineral news to cover everything off. Today it's
animal news.
Are you resetting?
Yes, exactly. It's been a bit of a hiatus, so we thought, let's start afresh with animal news.
We didn't think that. You just said, I want to do animal news today.
No. John said, what is it? I said animal news, and that was that.
So, yeah.
Oh, so, yeah. That's so exactly what I just said.
That's how it works. Well, we look forward to it, Victoria.
Oh, good.
Have you started researching yet?
No.
Okay. When you come back at 2 o'clock, I'd just like a little animal tease, if you would. Just one word. Just one animal-based word to tease us
I'll attempt to
thank you.
Start my research.
Good. Right, that's all on the way. As is guests, or our guests, I suppose, really. Will Franken, comedian, will be joining us. It's a PR exercise dressed up as an interview. He's going to be flogging something. Comedian Andrew Doyle will be joining him as well, but in a weird sort of way, because he can't get here on time, so he's going to be on the phone or something.
One phone, one here.
We'll get to the bottom of that. Plus, don't forget later...
That's literally it.
Yeah, but I don't know why he can't get here, though. What I'm saying is he obviously doesn't want to... PR his thing enough to be able to make it. So that's. So I'm going to ask him why.
Stay tuned to get to the bottom of that.
Yeah, that mystery. Plus, we don't forget that we'll be in the last half an hour of the programme a game of banned or perceived ethnic slur. All on the way today. What? It's fine. Look, it's based on the Harvard University story, so I've tied it to the news.
Yeah, it's still how many racial slurs.
It's not racial. That's not what I said. Anyway. That's on the way. Stay tuned to find out what happens during that. We're back, everyone. Let's do another bit of the programme now.
Election Night Live with Julia Hartley Brewer on Talk Radio. Tomorrow night from 10.
Join me, Julia Hartley Brewer, for instant results, breaking news and expert analysis as the votes are counted.
The factions, the fury, the fallout.
Order.
Get knockout election coverage that packs a political punch from Talk Radio's Instrument of Power.
The rumours are completely unfounded. There's no cause for alarm.
Election Night Live with Julia Hartley Brewer. Sorry, Julia Hartley Brewer.
Going to the country.
Tomorrow night from 10 on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, good afternoon then, and welcome if you're joining us for the first time. And thank you and goodbye if you're a Tommy Boyd fan that's just switched off. All right, in the next bit then, as I said, Headline Hijack is on the way. That means you get to make up a news story. And the reason for that is to confuse those who aren't listening to this bit. It's your chance to write the news. People not listening to this bit, i.e. Tommy Boyd fans, will maybe tune back at 2 o'clock to see if things have improved. But no. Well, they won't hear this bit, so they won't know that we are setting up a made-up news lie to go into that bulletin, and we'd like you to do it. What's been coming in? Cornelius.
A number of councils across the country have come under criticism after awarding extra votes to citizens who are said to have gone above and beyond for their own community. The electoral board are yet to comment on the matter, but we will get you more as we get
and
it.
And who sent that in?
That was from Sean.
Hi, Sean, and thank you.
You know, I can't vote tomorrow.
Why?
I registered to vote for my new address.
Yes.
And then I very rarely check my post, and they've sent me a letter asking me to send some forms of ID.
Which you didn't do.
No, and basically, I don't have any forms of ID for my new address because I haven't changed anything.
Right.
So I can't vote tomorrow.
Right.
Oh.
Well done. Well done,
Cornelius. So it's your fault.
Yeah, well, not really. And also, weirdly, the deadline to send them proof is the 9th of June, the day after the election.
That does seem a little odd.
Something's up. Something's up. I'm just saying.
Right. Send them a selfie of you standing outside your front door.
Yeah, that'll work. Yeah. Or outside number 10 or something. Just picture that. I mean, they probably won't let you anywhere near it due to security reasons.
I must be the first political editor who's not going to vote in this general election. Yeah, political editor-in-chief, that is.
Talk Radio's political editor-in-chief. Non-voting Cornelius Mendes. In a bout of earworms, this is gardening news, a bout of earworms are said to be plaguing the country's gardens after entering this country in pots of hummus. You probably read about this in the newspapers today, but the worms are very difficult to see amongst the grass and plants. However, it is possible to hear the earworms as they emit a humming sound that goes along the lines of the tune of Don't Stop Believing by Journey. So if you're out in the garden, just be quiet now, just shh. And if you hear this sound, then it could be an earworm. I'd pop down your local garden centre, B&Q, other B&Qs are available, and pick up some earworm. Pellets. Thank you to Bob Flowerdew for sending that in. So, you made up news, please. You got till 2 o'clock. Here's the number, 87222.
Start your message with the word Talk.
Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with anybody you like.
And next on the programme, we welcome Kyle back in. He's going to be going through the papers for us. It's today's diversity paper review, and Kyle is English, Jamaican and Welsh. Looking through the newspapers on Talk Radio in the afternoons. It's Wednesday. I am John Holmes.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
We are Talk.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
My thing, popping on the Lycra and swallowing the odd insect. I'm into my cycling, you see. We meet every Sunday morning, 7:30 on the dot. We just planned a trip to the Alps, well, the Welsh Alps, so we need a new bike rack. It's got to keep four bikes safe on the roof whilst we plan our Tour de Wales in the car underneath.
Sounds like Ben's thing is a roof-mounted four-bike car carrier rack. Find your thing on eBay, the UK's number one online destination for car parts and accessories. eBay. Find your thing.
1 million is a gargantuan amount, isn't it? If 1 million people stood on each other's shoulders, they'd reach all the way to space. It'd be a bit cold at the top, though. Bruh. So if I told you over 1 million people have chosen to sell their cars with WeBuyAnyCar.com, you might think, wow, I'm going to give that a go. Gargantuan. I like that word. Why don't you join them? Enter your reg number now at WeBuyAnyCar.com. Admin fee may apply. For more information, see WeBuyAnyCar.com/info.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the trade go.
At Selco Builders Warehouse, we've got real deals on a wide range of trade-quality building products. In June, we've got cement mixer hire for only £14 ex-VAT for 7 days, insurance included. Now that's a real deal. See selcobw.com for even more real deals and to find your nearest branch.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the trade go.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
There's queues again on the northbound A3 through Thursley as you head towards Guildford. A lane's been closed following an accident. Through Felixstowe, Candlett Road, the A154 is down to one lane on the eastbound side near the Dock Spur roundabout. A lorry's tipped over there, so making that look very, very slow. Toasters A43 in Northamptonshire still closed southbound away from the A5. That's because of resurfacing work. And two of the three lanes on Newport's westbound M4 are closed by an accident near Junction 24 for Caldera. I'm Gerina Adams.
Hello, I'm Insuincy Spider. Yeah, from the nursery rhyme, yeah. And I wear contact lenses, but because I've got 8 eyes, like most spiders do, cost me a fortune. What I really need to do is find a money spider to settle down with. But where can you find money spiders these days? The web?
Should have gone to Specsavers. Get your favourite contact lenses at Specsavers prices. Subject to suitability and availability. See in store for conditions.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Delaney, live at Drive. Get the full service and parts experience with essential debate, big name guests and a truckload of topical emissions. Traffic stopping, drive time entertainment with me, Sam Delaney.
Delicious, de-groovy. D-lovely, D-Laney.
Stop, look, listen to Sam Delaney. Get involved.
This afternoon from 4.
On Talk Radio, we'll get you talking. John Holmes on Talk Radio, we'll get you talking.
Good afternoon, I am John Holmes. So just hang on while I plug my phone in.
Got it?
Yeah, got it, thanks, mate.
Sorry. Yep. Got that adapter
yep.
in as well?
Yeah, I got that. Yep.
Just phone in your pocket?
Yeah, just plug it in.
Is it on silent?
It is, yeah. I just realised it was on 30%. That's not used to me.
30?
30. Right, hello. It's Talk Radio in the afternoons, as I mentioned. Now, of course, before we talk to Kyle and go in detail through the newspapers, it's worth mentioning that there is news today. It's the final day of campaigning, of course. Today's election eve. Do not forget to leave out a mince pie and a sherry for each of the candidates before you go to bed this evening, as is the tradition. Of course, tomorrow on the programme, we can't talk about the election at all. That's the law, because it's actual polling day, so we won't be bringing you any of it tomorrow. So fill your boots today. It's all quite complicated, though, isn't it?
Oh, I can't get my head around it.
Can't you?
No.
Really?
No, it doesn't matter. I can't vote. So.
Okay, no, you mentioned that. Anyway, due to your own idiocy. But anyway, because the news is complicated, we like to bring it to you in a simplified version. Now, that's fashionable at the moment. News Round, BBC's children's news outlet, have started doing it with news stories about how to explain things to kids and stuff in an easy-to-understand way. But we like to think they're sort of copying us, really, except for the whole Japanese poetry thing, which we are very much still the only
pioneers.
I think so in many ways, Dave. Yeah. So I mean, not of Japanese poetry. That was done like in medieval times, really.
by the Japanese, famously.
Yes, but it certainly by explaining news through it. Hmm. That's pretty much down to us. Five syllables, seven syllables, and five syllables. We explain the news in haikus.
Last day of election campaigns. Thank God it's nearly bloody over.
The news in haiku. So then, good afternoon, if you're just joining us. It's a time, and it's a radio station, and I am a man on it. And another man is joining me now, because he's going to go through the papers for us as part of our diversity paper review. It makes us the most diverse programme in broadcasting. Yes, we go through the papers, so does everyone else. But round here, we invite a different diversity to do it each day, making us the most diverse programme in broadcasting. Kyle, hello, good to see you again.
Hi, how you doing?
And again, reminders of your diversity.
I'm English, Jamaican and Welsh.
Isn't that amazing? Look at that. Mm. That's three boxes ticked right there. Kyle, what have you got first for us?
We're going to The Mirror, the world's most expensive hamburger.
Right.
So it's been approved by the Guinness World Records.
Yeah.
It consists of a Japanese dry-aged Wagyu, a black Angus beef patty, Oosterschlag lobster infused with hermit, Dutch coastal gin, foie gras, white truffle, Remica cheese, Japanese fruit tomatoes and caviar. That's just the tip of the iceberg.
And is that in as well, the lettuce, is it?
Yeah. Well, no, it's French lettuce, actually. Oh, Iberian ham, and a specially concocted sauce made with 35 lobsters, Jamaican Blue Mountain coffee, Madagascan vanilla, saffron, Japanese soy.
That sounds horrible.
And it's covered in gold leaf.
Wow. And how much is this burger?
Well, this burger will set you back £1,785.
Right.
Which is, I mean, would you...
Is it big? Or is it like the size of just a burger?
It's a standard burger.
Yeah.
It's just the ingredients in
Did
it.
Did you think it had just like 35 lobsters in a bun with a burger underneath?
That would be an amazing burger. Yeah. I'd definitely pick that up for nearly £2,000.
Yeah. I would try that.
I'd definitely try it. I don't know if I could really fork that much out. I mean, that's like too much
I wouldn't even use a fork. I'd pick it up. So, where can we get this?
So, this burger was created by Chef Diego Buick of the South of Houston restaurant in The Hague in Holland.
Right.
But he is, apparently they are planning to bring it to London.
Wow.
A little pop-up restaurant.
Yeah, of course they are. It's of course. The hipster way.
That's the way they do it.
But they do this occasionally, don't they? I'm not saying on slow news days, because it technically isn't a slow news day today, but occasionally this crops up, the most expensive pizza.
Yeah.
Or the most expensive, and this is obviously is a hamburger. But it's like chefs going out of their way just to go, all right, how am I going to outdo the last one?
That's pretty much it, yeah. I mean, he developed, the guy Diego, he developed a passion for hamburgers during his two-year stint working at Soho House in London.
Oh, yeah.
And shortly after returning to Rotterdam, he was designing and building his own burgers. And in 2015, he won the prize for this city's best patty and burger creation. So he's obviously trying to push
the
boundaries.
He knows his stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But all that, you know, sauce. What do you do? I mean, do you just go, okay, I'm just going to source a list of expensive ingredients and slap them in a bun?
Just feel like you just Googled most expensive things you can get.
Yeah.
And then gone, order me one of the top 20 exactly. of each. Yeah. And then I'm going to put them in my smoothie maker.
Yeah. And no one's ever going to buy one.
No.
It's just, will get me in the paper.
That's
pretty
the
much.
Easiest world record to break as well. Because you could just sell a normal burger for too much money. Like, if I went home and went to Lidl, bought a burger...
Yeah, other supermarkets are available.
Yeah, but I'm just emphasising this one's cheap.
Okay.
And I put it in a cheese-top bread bun.
Yep.
From where?
I actually did this on the weekend.
Right. What,
made a burger?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
But
it's a great story,
if I
mate.
Then went to Guinness Book of Records, I went, this could be yours for £8 million.
Yeah.
Bang.
Well, why don't you email them now?
Do
right. During the show, and let's okay. see if we get a response from the people at the Guinness. You know.
If you technically also, can sell it for a price, does that count? Because I could buy it off you.
Well, ask them the rules.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's got to be the ingredients. They've got to equate the value of every ingredient.
Don't be a number jotter.
If I buy it off you for $10,000, you give it me back after, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure?
Yeah.
And then,
but technically,
are you giving the burger back?
Yeah, I've created
the world, have a bite.
A bite for $10,000.
The world's most.
I'll even chuck in some reggae sauce.
Oh,
$11,000.
but it's easy. I mean, I'm just looking at a picture of it now, by the way.
Yeah, right?
And it is a stacked up burger.
It's stacked up, but it still looks like a regular burger with just a bit of gold on top.
Yeah. If you email them now,
yeah,
and just ask them about the gold and stuff. And see if it's the ingredients or not. Because all you've then got to do is surely, if that's however many ingredients you read out there,
yeah,
right, or just add one more.
One more.
And then you've got the record.
£1,786.
Took a diamond on it.
Or a gherkin.
Yeah,
I mean, literally,
cheese slice. Yeah, one of those plasticky cheese slices.
It's a really cheap thing, so it's that plus 10p or whatever it might
Pretty
be.
Pretty much, yeah. Sprinkle a bit of Cajun on it. Take it up another 20p.
Yeah. All right, Colin's busy emailing.
I'm emailing.
Get
also,
on it.
To butter them up a bit, so you'll put some Guinness in it as well. Because that's, you know, they like that.
That's what they're missing.
Yeah. There you go.
That tops it off.
It's all that dipped in a pint of Guinness. what else is in the papers, Colin?
We're moving to the Daily Mail. We're moving to a Russian billionaire's plans for a floating nation in space. is taking its first steps closer to reality.
Right.
The floating nation, dubbed Asgardia, set to take its first steps in space later this year with the launch of its maiden data satellite. The satellite will test the concept of long-term data storage in orbit around Earth. So this Russian billionaire has basically got a load of international scientists together,
yeah,
and said, I really don't fancy living on Earth with all their laws and all their...
Oh, that is crazy laws.
All of that. Yeah. And he's like, you know what, I'm going to build a nation up in space where I can basically create whatever I want.
Yeah.
So he says it could pave the way for off-planet data and tax havens floating in space.
Yeah. I mean, it's all very well, but the last successful space thing the Russians did was to send a monkey there, I think.
Yeah.
There is
a step up, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a real step up.
They've got a hand in the space station, fair enough, but that's a long way.
It is. I mean, well, founder and chief financial backer Igor Ashurbaly said at the time that he believed the space-bound private country could offer an independent platform free from the constraint of a land-based country's laws.
Yeah.
So he's literally trying to create a space nation that will be part of the United Nations. It will be a fully fledged and independent nation.
Yeah, but then we're going to have to call it United Space Nations. Actually, I quite like the idea.
That sounds pretty cool.
That's pretty good, actually.
Does it say how much burgers will cost?
Space burgers,
Dave. Space burgers. It would be just those, yeah.
Well, maybe you have to then put into the price of the burger the amount of rocket cost
it
takes
to get travel.
You have to put rocket salad in it.
Yeah.
Add some rocket, right? Get and then the cost of launching a burger into space has to be added onto the price of the burger.
Yeah.
But it's space food, so it has to be powdered or something. So you have to make the burger, then reduce it,
dehydrated, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Desiccate the burger down to
really expensive. Yeah.
But anyway, just
I just like the name, Asgardia.
Who's obviously come up with that?
The Russian billionaire. Obviously, it's from Norse mythology.
Yeah.
The city of skies ruled by Odin in Valhalla.
So he's thought it through.
Yeah. He's going to think of himself as a bit of a god, isn't he?
Has he put a date on this?
No, well, the satellite's been projected to launch in September this year.
Right.
And that's just the initial process.
I mean, that's one satellite.
That's one satellite.
You can't live on that.
No. I mean, he says that the first project is to create a protective shield up in space to obviously protect mankind from space debris, comets and asteroids.
I'm going to just stick my neck out now and say this will never happen.
You'd be surprised. It's got a lot of backing. A lot of backing. Russian scientist, founder of the Aerospace International Research Center in Vienna, they launched their website looking for virtual participants to go live out on it. And they thought, you know, the first 100,000 people to register will become citizens. And they've been inundated with 500,000 applicants.
Is this a Kickstarter project?
It sounds like it, doesn't it?
All right.
It's just going to be, that's going to be mental. It's going to be a literal Death Star, pretty much.
We're running out of time.
From Death Stars to so have you heard of the WOW signal?
Yes, I have.
Yes, the narrow band radio signal that was received back in August 15th, 1977.
Yes, one's ever explained this signal.
No.
The reason it's called the WOW signal is because the space scientist who saw it come in just went, wow, wrote WOW next to the finest.
Astronomer Antonio Paris from St. Petersburg College in Florida believes he solved the mystery.
Oh, go on then.
So according to Professor Paris, the signal came from the hydrogen cloud created by two comets as they passed by the Earth. Using celestial records, he found that these two comets were passing by our planet on 15th of August 1977. And at the time, there was no knowledge that these comets existed. So to make absolutely sure, Professor Paris waited until the comets were due again.
Yeah.
He recorded with some radio telescopes in their direction and found that it pretty much were these comets that passed around Earth. So his research has been accepted into the Journal of Washington Academy of Science. And now he's pretty much just waiting for another scientist, another astronomer to disprove it. But he said himself, he's like, look, I really want someone to disprove this because I want to know that there's aliens in life.
That's interesting. That WOW signal has never been explained. And that's in terms of people who are interested in that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That was a huge milestone in, is there something out there?
It was, yeah. It was the basic
the
precipice
comets.
Of extraterrestrial, you know, sort of communications. Yeah. And now this guy's basically come around and said, rained on our parade.
Yeah.
Like, no, comets. That's it.
There it is. Other out-of-business electrical retailers are available. listen, Carl, thank you very much, as ever, for coming in. Remind us of your diversity, if you would.
English, Jamaican and Welsh.
That's right.
I've sent the email.
Yes?
I'll quickly read it out to you. Hello, we've just been discussing the new world record-breaking most expensive burger during our paper review on the John Holmes Show on Talk Radio. I believe I have a more expensive burger to sell, and better yet, I've someone to buy it. The large majority of ingredients are sourced from Lidl's, brackets, burger and cheese top bun, with the exception of reggae reggae sauce, which I already had in the fridge. My colleague, Ginger Producer Dave, has said he will buy it off me for £10,000, which is £8,250 more pounds than the current record.
Good.
Please, can you send the certificate, and then I've put our address.
Excellent. So we'll keep you posted as to when that arrives, presumably by tomorrow.
John.
Thank you very much.
Can I borrow £10,000?
You're going to have to ask another presenter. Why don't you get on that?
I'll go and ask Edith Bowman.
She gets more than anyone around here. Right, okay, so headline hijacks on the way. A made-up news story. For doing very little work. The made-up news story, that's what we require from you to go into the news, which is next. For all those not listening to this bit, there is a headline hijacker. Cornelius, who is it? What is the name?
It's Patrick.
Hi, Patrick. Hi, where's Patrick from, Dave?
Hull.
Right, good.
Well, it's currently a balmy 18 degrees.
Great. So there we go. Made up news story on the way next. After that, we will be welcoming comedian Will Franken into the studio. Not welcoming comedian Andrew Doyle into the studio because he's going to be on the phone. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes,
correct.
Because he can't be asked to turn up to plug his own thing. But anyway, we'll find out why. All of that coming. Plus, we're going to be talking to a cross-party MP later on this final day of campaigning. And don't forget a game of banned or perceived ethnic slur on the way between 3:30 and 4 o'clock. I'm John Holmes. You're listening to Talk Radio. It's the afternoons.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio.
The spin, the soapboxing, the swing.
But how big a swing, I'm not going to tell you.
Join the conversation party.
Talk Radio.
Say the end of the month comes rolling around, and it's been rather a quiet one on the old YouTubing front. But instead of getting to keep that lovely data that you paid for but didn't use, it just disappears. So, that doesn't seem very fair. But say there was a new mobile company, one that rolls any unused data for you to use next month, next year, or even 3 years later. Well, say hello to Sky Mobile. Sky, believe in better.
You can redeem your data in 1 gigabyte increments. For full terms, go to sky.com/mobile.
At Homebase, we're all about low prices. That's why our charcoal barbecues start from just £9.97 and our gas barbecues from only £99.98. Homebase. Always low prices.
Score yourself a winner with The Sun. Join me, The Sun's chief football reporter, Neil Ashton, for all the latest stats, chats and spats. Our coverage is more Pep than Guardiola, tackles opponents tougher than Terry, and scores more winners than our mates Zlatan. Plus, don't miss your number one football pullout. It's goals every Monday, Wednesday, Saturday and Sunday. Go on, pick up The Sun today for just 50p.
Julian, Winston Wolf, your dishwasher caught fire and your kitchen's destroyed.
Yeah.
You need to get to a safe place pronto, or tonight you'll be sleeping with the Fishers over at number 42.
Hello! Ugh.
Relax. If you can't stay in your home after a fire, Direct Line will get you sorted with an emergency hotel within an hour of you telling them. Now get going, Mr. Fisher's approaching.
Emergency hotel sorted within an hour. Can your home insurance do that? Excludes Highlands and Islands. Extreme weather conditions may extend response time. Terms and cover limits apply. Underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Access all radios.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip. Talk Radio.
Yes, it is just after 2 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm John Holmes. Here's Victoria with the news now.
Thanks, John. Coming up, last minute campaigning, London death toll rises, and a deal done on RBS.
Talk Radio.
Politicians are trying to convince voters on the final day of election campaigning. Security is an issue that's featured heavily following recent terror attacks, but party leaders are also trying to push other policies as well. At a rally this afternoon, Theresa May stressed the importance of tomorrow's vote for the Tories.
If we lose just six seats, the government loses its majority. And that would mean that coalition of chaos with Labour, the Lib Dems and the SNP. It would mean Jeremy Corbyn in number 10. John McDonnell at the Treasury.
But UKIP leader Paul Nuttall has told Talk Radio he doesn't think the Prime Minister will fare well with negotiations with the EU.
We've led on agendas which the other parties don't want to talk about because they're hamstrung by political correctness. I think with Theresa May, if you look at her record in politics, particularly her record as Home Secretary, I think she's going to suffer badly in these Brexit negotiations, and I don't think she's going to get the deal that people signed up for.
Liberal Democrat leader Tim Farron is calling for people to vote tactically to avoid a Conservative landslide. Jeremy Corbyn, meanwhile, says he's proud of the positive and clean campaign Labour has fought. It comes as Shadow Home Secretary Diane Abbott's been temporarily replaced due to ill health. A Shadow Cabinet colleague, Barry Gardner's, told Talk Radio she's suffering from a long-term condition. Eight people are now known to have died in the London Bridge terror attack as police confirm a body has been discovered in the River Thames. It's believed to be a missing Frenchman who hasn't been seen since Saturday night. We're just getting reports that a nursery worker has been slashed by three women in northeast London. We'll bring you more on this as we get it. And a High Court judge says a settlement deal has been accepted by investors seeking compensation from the Royal Bank of Scotland. They had claimed they were misled about the bank's health just before the financial crash.
Thanks, Victoria, for the news.
It's all right.
Jolly good. Now, I'm led to believe you've got some weather.
I do.
Okay, before you give us the weather.
Yes. Oh, no, I can't do what you're going to ask me to.
I wasn't going to ask you to do anything.
You're going to ask me to talk animals.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you to tease us towards an animal news story.
Yeah, I don't have one yet.
Oh, right.
Sorry, I forgot. I was doing the real news.
Great. All right, well, that aside, if she remembers, there will be some animal news for you, courtesy of Victoria, at around 3.30 this afternoon. Bonus news there on the way. Do you want to do the weather?
Yeah.
Here's the weather now.
Talk Radio National Weather.
It's national weather.
Dry and sunny for many this afternoon, with rain clearing in the northeast. Further rain, though, in the southwest of England later on. Highs of 20 degrees.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, John.
OK, now here's Ben Fletcher with the pre-recorded sport that he pre-recorded earlier.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. British and Irish Lions head coach Warren Gatland says there's plenty to be positive about despite his side losing today's tour match in Auckland. The Lions were beaten 22-16 by Super Rugby franchise the Blues. It follows an unconvincing victory over the Provincial Barbarians last weekend, and despite a slow start to the tour, Gatland has no fear about the upcoming tests against New Zealand.
There's so much strength and depth in this country. I don't think there'll be a lot of difference between some of the Super
the rugby sides and the All Blacks. These guys have been together for 7 months and the All Blacks are coming together cold.
It's understood Manchester United have had a £52 million bid for Alvaro Morata rejected by Real Madrid. The European champions want over £78 million for the Spanish striker. If United fail to agree a deal for Morata, it's thought they'll instead try to sign highly rated forward Andrea Belotti from Torino. Finally, Novak Djokovic is out of the French Open tennis, beaten in the quarterfinals in straight sets by Frenchman Dominic Thiem. Britain's world number one Andy Murray faces Kei Nishikori this afternoon. That's the latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
And finally, plans are being drawn up to introduce bears into the New Forest in Hampshire. The grizzlies will be imported from Canada, will then be bred and set free. It's hoped they'll be able to quell a number of vermin, including voles and rabbits.
Thank you very much indeed. Victoria there with the news, and Ben with the pre-recorded sport. Comedian Will Franken joining us in the studio next. It's Talk Radio in the afternoons.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Evil lurks in the hearts of men.
To some, it was a miracle. Others called it the triumph of illiteracy. Radio. It revolutionized the way people learned about their world.
Get out of the way, please.
It changed forever the way people would be entertained.
John Holmes.
John Holmes.
On Talk Radio.
For those about to talk,
we salute you.
Play Misty for me.
So good afternoon then, it's just gone a time. It is Talk Radio, and before we talk to Will, and indeed his comedian colleague who will be on the telephone because he couldn't be asked to turn up to plug his own thing, if you're listening before the news, you'll know that we've been emailing the Guinness Book of Records due to the fact that the world's most expensive burger has been approved by the Guinness Book of Records, but Cornelius has made his own from Lidl. So why don't you read us the email you sent to Guinness, and
yes.
then I understand you've had a reply.
Yes, absolutely. So this is the email I sent. Hello, we've just been discussing the new world record-breaking most expensive burger on the John Holmes Show. I believe I have a more expensive burger to sell, and better yet, I've someone to buy it. The large majority of ingredients was spelt wrong, I've just seen, are sourced from Lidl, brackets, burger and cheese top bun, with the exception of the reggae sauce, which I already had in the fridge. My colleague, Ginger Producer Dave, said he will buy it off me for £10,000, which is £8,215 more than the current record. Please, can you send the certificate to this address? They've replied.
Yes.
Jackie has replied. J-A-K-K-I.
Hey, Jackie.
Hi, Cornelius. Thanks for your message. If you'd like to apply on our database for that particular record title, please do so on our official website. Guidelines will then be sent to you, and it will detail what evidence you would need to send in order for our adjudicators to review. Many thanks. We hope you enjoy eating the burger. I've already penned out my reply.
Yes.
Jackie, thanks so much for your speedy reply. I'm glad to hear you're not busy. I would like to just clear up the confusion. I will not be eating the world's most expensive burger. To do so would not make economic sense. I will instead be selling it to Ginger Producer Dave. I will film out the form and look forward to hopefully another speedy reply.
Excellent. And that's very fast of Guinness. So
yes.
Credit to them for that.
Record-breakingly fast.
Yeah. I would write back and P.S. Is there a record for the fastest reply to an email? And is that it?
Sure.
Just add that on the
board. I will do.
All right. We'll let you know how that continues over the next doubtless few weeks. as we tie them up in nonsensical emails. Right, Talk Radio in the afternoons. I said we talked to comedian Will Franken, so we shall. He's here. Good afternoon, Will. How are you?
I'm good, John. How are you,
good,
my friend?
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you. Yes, thank you for asking. So, look, let's start as we mean to go on. So, essentially,
yes.
This is a PR exercise dressed up as an interview. We know that much.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was an interview dressed up as a PR exercise.
It's
a very fine line.
It depends which way we approach it. I say let's approach it in the now, before we even start talking, just tell us what it is you're flogging.
The show. I'm doing a show tonight at the Backyard Comedy Club, and it starts at 7:30 and it ends at 10 p.m. if I get off on stage on time, if I get off stage on time.
Yeah.
And it is, it's a fundraiser for Invoke Democracy Now, and basically you're going to get comedians who go against the grain types that you won't necessarily see on television. It's not safe. It's what comedy used to be once upon a time in this country, which is satire.
Yeah. Yep. So, we also should also mention that your co-conspirator, Andrew Doyle, is playing tonight. He's supposed to be here with you.
He's supposed to be here with me. A couple days ago, they said I couldn't call in, but apparently Andrew has special...
What's that about?
Abilities to call in.
Yeah. And so apparently he's going to be on the phone in a minute. I don't know.
I'm the sacrificial lamb, I guess.
But welcome anyway.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about it a little bit, because you rightly said there that this is, I guess, a bill of comedians you won't necessarily see on your Mock the Weeks and Have I Got News for You and all this kind of stuff.
Yep.
And what is the reason for that?
Well, I mean, for myself, I mean, when it was presented to me, I just thought you have kind of a very... You either have comedy today that's about nothing at all, which is fine. It has its place. There's some very great people like, Tommy Cooper, I think, is a great example of just silliness and irreverence. But you either have that or you have completely, shall I say, new left-wing kind of stuff, anti-Brexit, slagging off Northerners, stuff like that. And this is a response. It's sad that we have to have a special night just for this, but it kind of is monolithic right now. Comedy is very monolithic, and it is a chance for us to get up there and practice a free speech, no holds barred satire on important issues of the day.
And what is it about comedy now? Because we heard that, and I know this is partly a response to it, but Marcus Brigstocke, who's a out and out left wing comedian, was talking a while back in the press about how audiences, when he goes out of London, were starting to walk out of his gigs because of his anti-Brexit rhetoric, which seemed to come as a bit of a shock to him. Is that fair to say?
Well, I think a lot of comedians exist in an echo chamber. I mean, I'm very fortunate that I have very little to lose. And I always said, if somebody came up to me with a briefcase full of £10,000 so I could buy a burger, they come up to me and say, "Will, if you don't say this, this, and this, and you don't criticize this, you can have the £10,000, I might take it.
Yeah.
But that hasn't happened yet, and the business doesn't really work like that. It's like dating. It's like you hang around with the girl. Does she like me? Does she not? And so I just kind of just speak the truth as I see it.
And it's interesting. Let's bring Andrew's now on the phone, by the way.
Good. So, is he on the phone?
He's on the phone. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, how you doing?
There you go.
Now, hey, Andrew, how did you get special dispensation to call?
To call? Oh, I missed a train. That's how I do it.
right. Missed the train.
So if you missed the train, Will.
Those trains,
Could have got away with it.
Exactly.
Okay, look, Andrew, welcome, by the way. You're doing the gig as well tonight.
I am, of course. Yeah.
And so this, is this a, I mean, not a movement exactly, but we do see a lot, don't we, of what we call now mainstream comedy. What used to be, it's not alternative anymore. It is absolutely the mainstream, this sort of, I guess, left-wing sort of rhetoric where it's a case of, Nigel Farage is bad, Brexit's bad, this is bad. And is this, is this a case of going, well, all right, there are other politics out there for people on the same circuit who are somehow under the radar?
Yeah, I think the problem is that the left has sort of been redefined as a very narrow thing. And actually, there's a lot more a multiplicity of views amongst left-wing people. But I think the problem is that what we're seeing in the comedy realm is a very sort of specific version of what it means to be left-wing. I mean, Brexit is a good example because, the EU is fundamentally against everything that a socialist should stand for. So it's weird that it's sort of being sort of taken as a specifically right-wing position to want to get out of the EU. When, of course, socialists have been campaigning for years, not least Jeremy Corbyn, to get out of the EU.
Yeah, it's in terms of the approach of comedy, though. What is it about? Because I've fallen slightly foul of this myself in certain times where it's very easy to preach to the choir, isn't it? It's very easy to start. I used to do a show called The Now Show on Radio 4.
That's right. That's right.
And what I'd find, because Marcus Brigstocke used to do it as well, and he'd often stand up and talk about climate change or whatever he was talking about, and then I'd sort of do a bit, sort of going, well, yeah, I get what you're saying, but there's also this argument over here. And that's quite hard to do to a room of essentially Radio 4 listeners who are all sort of very left-wing and yet conversely readers of the Daily Mail, but go figure. But it's an interesting... I see exactly what you mean. You can either preach to the choir or you can start challenging stuff.
Well, the problem is the political correctness has made everything a monolith. And people are... comedians especially, and this is a disgrace because artists should always present a contrary opinion, but they've allowed themselves to conflate decency with political correctness. And so they think if they're a decent person, they'll be politically correct. But art doesn't work that way. Art comes out of the subconscious, unfettered, free, unrestrained. And political correctness is this kind of self-imposed shackling of the mind.
Yeah.
And this tonight's show is just one of what we hope will be many reactions to present an alternative, a truly alternative comedy night.
So why, Andrew, does television not sort of go there? Is it a case of the... Because you know it is arguably very left wing. The panel shows are often of one voice. You don't get Andrew Lawrence on there, for instance, or whoever the out and out right wing comedians might be. Why is that?
Well, I get it because I think comedians are all trying to make people laugh. They're trying to get the response. They're trying to be popular, essentially. So they're going to go with the more popular views, aren't they? I completely get it. I completely understand it. I mean, we're trying to get laughs, and part of our process is that we ditch jokes if they don't get laughs. And, of course, if you're gigging all the time in London, which is where most comics are based, you're not going to get laughs if you start, you know, saying, for example, a pro-Brexit stance. So that's where it comes from. I don't think there's anything sort of sinister about it.
If I could just say something else. Mm. The problem with a lot of comedians now, too, the ones that have a message... A lot of comedians go on now and they're kind of overly rewarded for very banal comedy. And then I think they kind of have this conflict of, I don't really have a message. And so they grab onto a message. One of the fringe winners from a couple years ago came out and said that jihad was a result of toxic masculinity. And in so doing, cast every man, you know, with this broad brush. And what's sick about this is I think that this is done more out of a sense of fashion. Like, this is a fashionable idiot. This will get me the laughs. This will get me the creds. I'm a real feminist, for example, and it's very disgusting, I think, to label all men as potential jihadis.
Yeah, well, but in terms of it in the comedy world, what I find interesting about it is it's more and more like the gigs like you're doing. You are starting to see this slight backlash against that perceived... When alternative comedy came out, it was The Voice, it was very anti-establishment, it was very anti what was there at the time. Mm-hmm. Now, you look back and you could say, okay, that was very PC, mm-hmm. because it was your Ben Eltons and everyone coming in and getting rid of that old school comedy that was perceived as sexist and racist and so on. But that was the alternative. But now it's almost... That's the mainstream, and so what you're saying is that the alternative still exists.
Well, yeah.
To that.
What Brexit proved, and I'm going to go ahead and say it, what Trump proved was that there's a sizable population in the Western world right now that is not being that has no voice.
Yeah.
And this has always been the problem, I believe, with the right wing is that they have no hip angle. Like, they have no intellects. I'm not putting it... Like, if you're an intellectual and you're coming from the right, it puts you in a very weird position because people know that you're intellectual. And they know you have reasons for that. And yet, the other day, I was having a private conversation with somebody, and these two girls eavesdropped on the conversation, left a little virtue-signaling note on the table. I've never had anything like that. And it felt like... Stories about
what does a virtue signaling note look like?
I mean, could I read it?
Well, if it's got no swearing in it, I suppose.
There's no swearing in it. But she just, you know, she got up. I was, you know, talking to somebody about the attacks, and she left. You know, couldn't help overhearing. You know, it folds out like that.
Yeah.
And then just, you know, we kindly request that you do not loudly discuss how bad multiculturalism for London in the future from some actual Londoners. Right. XXX, you know, very passive aggressive as they do.
Are you not a Londoner, Will?
I am a Londoner, exactly. So that I apparently don't fit in the rainbow, you see, in the Noah's Ark rainbow of the... You know, what's sick about
this is... That's the problem, though, isn't it? This idea that there's a specific type of person that we can't have different opinions.
Exactly.
It's disastrous. I think that's the most important thing. Is that it's all about diversity, but it's not about diversity of opinion. And diversity of opinion, to me, is more interesting.
No, you're absolutely right. I agree that it's almost like diversity a good thing, but only in the confines of what diversity is according to someone's agenda over there. Whereas you're right, diversity of opinion, which is weird to me because only today this story about Harvard University. Have you seen this?
No.
Where there are students, prospective students that were accepted into Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 of them have received letters telling them they've had their that's rescinded, that's gone, because they were in a private Facebook group making offensive jokes that whoever at Harvard deemed offensive. Now, for a start, that is the broadest term in the world.
Terrifying.
And you go, well, who says it's offensive? Mm-hmm. You know, you can take offense.
Who decides on that?
Exactly.
I just sort of think if people went through my text messages and my private emails, you know, I'd probably be in prison. You know, the jokes that I make.
Yeah.
It's bizarre to me that people would use that as any kind of selective criteria.
Well, it's not. You're absolutely right, though. I mean, there's arguments on the side of free speech, and there's argument on the side of offence. It was a private Facebook group for a start. I mean, if someone looked at our work WhatsApp group, my God, we'd all be in prison as well. But that's human nature, isn't it? That's the point.
You don't have the context there, do you? You don't have the context of friendship and what you can and can't say amongst friends. And, you know, I do think it's a really dangerous sort of creeping authoritarianism, that kind of behavior. I think it's really bad.
The depressing thing about the obsession with diversity, and I don't know if I'm allowed to refer people to the piece I wrote on your... I'd not met you at the time, and I heard that, you know, you were sacked for basically diversity reasons, which led me to look into the BBC's. Basically, they have broken people down into mathematic abstractions, And, you know, we need to see an on-air percentage of X skin color and X gender and X sexual orientation. And what they've done is they've reduced people to just their gender and just their skin color, and which is actually, if you look at it, real racism, because what makes a human individual is their ideas, their talents, their abilities, their opinions. And all of those things get overlooked in the obsession about skin, race, sexual orientation.
So why is there an obsession with it, do you think? Because what you've just said there, most right thinking people go, well, yeah, you're right, because everyone should be equal on every level.
Absolutely.
That's the point. And by breaking people down into these groups, you're actually dividing people, aren't you? So why are people obsessed with that? Andrew, do you want to come back in?
To be fair, I mean, if you look at the history of this country, you know, there has been periods of terrible racism and terrible homophobia and all the rest of it. And this is sort of massive overcompensation a bit too late. I think that might be the problem.
Yeah.
You know, we now live in a society where it's not socially acceptable to discriminate in these ways, and that's a good thing. This is all good. I don't think this is bad. But I think I would suggest though that. Now we've reached a point where it should be more about the individual rather than what group you belong to. Because, like Will said, we're so much more than just our vital statistics. You know.
I
think also too, as standards continue to be lowered, you know, we see things in universities. It's like, you know, okay, well now you can just shout loud enough, and the person you disagree with won't show up. As the standards continue to be lowered in the arts and the media and what have you. People need something to identify themselves with that makes them somehow, that gives them some illusion of depth. So if they say, okay, if we have X amount of people on the screen, you know, we don't care what we're not interested in merit as long as we, you know, do the little color chart. I call it, in the article I wrote about your situation, I mentioned Noah's Ark. It was like this, we've abandoned religion and yet we still do this very religious type of stuff. Like, you know, let's put, you know, every member of the rainbow in the Ark and then we'll be like a good, holy people. Which is absolute lunacy because it just completely, as I say, completely overlooks the beauty of a human, what it means to be human.
Yeah, I could do a whole program on this, frankly. Will Franken,
let's do it.
But today's not the day. But tonight is the gig.
The gig.
See how I bring it professionally round to that again.
Full circle.
Thank
man.
You.
Full circle.
So remind us where it is, Will, and who else is on the bill.
It's a Backyard Comedy Club, and it starts at 7:30. And that's Backyard Comedy Club, by the way, Bessnell Green Tube Stop. It's about a 2 to 3 minute walk. Andrew, do you have any other specifics? It's Dominic Frisby, Andrew Doyle, myself, Will Franken, and
Miriam Elia.
Yeah, Dominic Frisby is hosting the night. And there is, there's another app, and I should know, but I don't. That's terrible.
Well, Miriam Elia's on, so you're on.
Yes,
was that who you're thinking of? Yep.
Yeah, that's who I'm thinking of, yeah.
Good. All right, listen, that's tonight, as you heard. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Will, thank you more, because you turned up.
Because I'm here.
You actually got
here.
Right.
I know.
Andrew.
I apologise, sorry.
Lazy. Awful, so, Andrew, by the way, I'm not going to say he's going to be phoning his performance in tonight, but... Thank you.
Good.
Andrew, Will, thank you so much. It's Talk Radio in the afternoons. If you'd like to get in touch with us, here's the number 87222.
Start your message with the word
Talk. At Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you like.
Next, we'll bring you election updates. What are the leaders up to? We'll be following them. It's Follow the Leader. It's Talk Radio in the afternoon. Oh, and by the way, in the last half an hour of the programme, don't forget we are playing a game of banned or perceived ethnic slur. And there's something to look forward to. Talk Radio, afternoons. I'm John Holmes.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Join the conversation party.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio.
Listen. Do you hear that? That's the sound of nothing. Sounds nice, doesn't it? At Ford, we like the sweet sound of nothing too. That's why we now have 0% APR representative across our Ford car range on 3-year Ford options. Visit your nearest participating Ford dealer today. Ford. Go further.
Retail only. Vehicles to be contracted from April the 1st to June the 30th, 2017 and registered between April the 1st and September the 30th, 2017. Finance subject to status. Guarantees may be required. Free post Ford credit. Exclude selected models. Please contact your Ford dealer for more information.
Have I got PPI?
Want to know if you've had PPI? Find out with our free PPI check. Stephen Saunders from Nottingham received £1,856 on his credit card.
I wasn't sure whether I'd pay PPI on my credit card. Stanton Fisher did everything for me and took control of the claim. I would happily recommend Stanton Fisher to friends and family.
So text CHECK to 80800 for your free PPI check.
Have I got PPI.com?
That's CHECK to 80800.
Lately you've been thinking about giving Just for Men a go. But you want to know, is it easy? Natural looking?
Yes, getting rid of your grey with Just For Men is indeed easy and more natural than, say, a chat with Mum. Yes, Mum, you deserve grandkids. We're working on it. No, Mum, I don't live at the pub. Tough stuff. In comparison, Just For Men remains easy. About 5 minutes and you're back to your natural-looking hair colour. Mum, however, is only getting started. Just For Men. Find it in the men's aisle.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Through Crediton in Devon, both sides of the A377, the high street are closed by an accident near to Crediton Museum. In Felixstowe, a lorry using the southbound A14 returning into the docks, it overturned. The southbound A14 is now closed for the recovery of that lorry. There's congestion around Toaster with the southbound A43 closed for emergency repairs near to the A5, and there's still one lane closed on Newport's westbound M4 near Caldra because of an accident between junctions 24 and 25. I'm Joanna Adams.
Blind mice, wise men, musketeers. The best things come in threes. Like three times the credit on Tesco Mobile's pay-as-you-go triple credit SIM. Top up £10 and we'll turn it into 30. And join before the 25th of June to get an extra 500 club card points. So text triple to 65666 to order your free SIM today. Smile, you're on Tesco Mobile.
Requires active and topped up SIM with club card registration by July 16th. New pay-as-you-go customers only. T's and C's apply. Visit tescomobile.com.
Talk Radio. Digital debate for the UK.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Just to give you a little update, by the way, Cornelius is still filling in the Guinness World Record forms. Now, if you've just tuned in, what's happened is we were talking earlier, because it was in the Daily Mirror today, about the world's most expensive burger. And we thought we could beat it by simply having Cornelius make a burger and then sell it for more than the world's most expensive burger. Ginger producer Dave has offered to buy it for £10,000.
We could start an auction.
Yeah, yes, if you'd like a handmade burger.
No, it's not handmade. It's Lidl make it. Yeah, but basically, I cook it.
You're going to put it in a bun.
Yeah.
So it's hand put
cheese
in
top
a,
bun.
Hand put in a cheese top bun, a Lidl patty, in a Lidl bun. Mm-hmm. Other budget supermarkets are available. You've just chosen that one.
Yeah,
because it's nearest to your
house.
Yes,
and the nearest one, yeah.
Fair enough, that's fine.
So I've been on the Guinness World Records website trying to find the form. How it works is you have to find the record and then say, I've beaten that, apply now.
Yeah.
Now, annoyingly, the record isn't up there yet,
which,
you know, raises a lot of suspicion. So what I've done is just said that I've beat the record for the world's biggest burger.
Well, that's not true, though, is it?
Yeah, I know, but on the form I've written, I haven't beaten this record. I've actually beaten another record.
But your record's
I can't work out how to submit that other than this form.
There's no record of that record.
No, and also, so I do have to put the measurement of the weight of the burger.
Ah, why? No, you've just come back in and missed why this has had to happen.
Okay.
It's all to do with the fact that the expensive burger isn't up on their website form yet.
Right.
So you have to
react to a resist currently.
No, I know
existing.
That, but what I mean is why is the measurement relevant?
Because he's had to fill in the form for the biggest burger instead because it's the closest.
Got you. I see.
So how much do you reckon a normal burger weighs?
£10,000.
No, because we can't lie.
Oh.
Cuz we'll have to follow up on that. So it's about what 6 ounces?
Well, it depends on the. You're going to get an 8 ounce burger, can't you? You can get
a quarter pounder.
Okay, so
that's
I'll say quarter.
One,
all right, quarter pounder plus cheese top bun
and
reggae sauce.
Yeah.
And okay, then, and then you. I've just reiterated that I've made this burger. It's the most expensive in the world, more expensive than Diego Buick of Holland.
Put a link to that article, maybe.
I will,
yeah.
And then, so hopefully, and also. Jackie hasn't replied to my second email, which is disappointing.
Okay, well, she won't get the record for fastest second reply. Anyway, you know, politics. It's the final day. See how we say. That was like the Jeremy Vine show, wasn't it?
Yeah.
When he goes between light-hearted story and serious one, just by dropping his voice an octave or two. But that's what we're talking now, politics. This is the last day of the election campaigning. Of course, tomorrow we go to the polls, apart from Cornelius, who forgot to register to vote properly. However, as it's the final day of campaigning, and don't forget, by the way, to leave, it's election eve, you have to leave a mince pie and some sherry out for each candidate tonight before you go to bed. It's come to this, the last day of campaigning before we go to the polls tomorrow. And sadly, that means for now, it's the final time we get to play this music. Radio, the home of your general election coverage. Apart from all the other places. Tomorrow evening from 10, Julia Hartley Brewer will be live as the polls close and the elections come in. Julia Hartley Brewer from 10 o'clock at night. She's doing her own show in the morning.
If you're a regular Ian Lee caller, do still ring in.
Yes, do. She's on from 10 o'clock. Do you want to jot the number down now? 0344 499 1000 to speak to Julia Hartley Brewer with the election programme. And then on Friday, Talk Radio, including this show, will be live from College Green, opposite the Houses of Parliament there. For no other reason than we can.
Don't you have to balance that?
With saying?
The other party's
Sorry,
colours.
Also College Green, College UKIP, College Tory, College Labour, College Others.
Lib Dem,
yeah.
SNP.
Yeah, College SNP.
Clyde Cymru.
Anyway, all of the colleges will be live from them all. But you know what? We've got to find out now what the leaders have been up to today, as we do indeed follow the leader. Prime Minister Theresa May has been in Norfolk this morning, and she's been saying that the Tories are the low-tax party.
And to raise the 40% threshold up to 50,000. So the choice is very simple for people on Thursday, which is a Conservative Party that's always believed in lower taxes, or a Labour Party with a manifesto that we know will mean higher taxes for all and ordinary working people paying the price.
That's what she said. But Jeremy Corbyn has been kicking it says here, in Scotland this morning, and criticising the Tory plans to scrap some human rights in order to tackle terrorist threats.
The way you deal with a threat to democracy is not by reducing democracy, it's by dealing with the threat. That means properly funding our police and security services. She's the one who took 20,000 police officers off the street. We'll put 10,000 back on the street straight away.
That's what he's saying. Tim Farron, you know, has been in posh Oxford this morning. He feels that his party, that's the Liberal Democrats, are in, are in a good position as the electorate go into the polling booths tomorrow.
Tomorrow is a chance for people to say we're not going to give Theresa May a blank cheque to deliver all those cuts to all that we hold dear. And the Liberal Democrats, I think, the one opposition party that can hope to go forward in this election, the most powerful way in many parts of the country to deliver that message.
Tim Farron. And now the very, very green Caroline Lucas has been speaking at a Brighton-based creative agency. We don't have any of that, but instead here's a clip from the BBC election debate in which she pledges to scrap Trident.
We would stop spending money on things that we simply don't think is a good use of money. And Trident nuclear weapons would come pretty close to the top of that list. So we would scrap nuclear weapons. That would give us around £130 billion minimum over the next 30 years.
Out of interest, why don't they just, anyone wants to scrap nuclear weapons, right? Why don't they just, leave the door open? Because then, the people who nick metal and stuff would just go and steal them, wouldn't they? So you could get rid of them quite simply if you wanted to. Just an idea. Paul Nuttall. He's been visiting the glamorous holiday resort that is Great Yarmouth. And he says that the Tories are stealing his party's ideas.
The Conservative Party promised in their manifesto not to withdraw from the European Court of Human Rights, and now they're talking about stripping back human rights legislation. I want to make it clear with UKIP. We would rip up the Human Rights Act, withdraw from the European Court of Human Rights, and ensure that there was a British Bill of Rights which ensured that British people were put first.
Nuttall today. Nicola Sturgeon. She's going to do a speech later in Scotland. Where else? And she, and this will come as no surprise, but she has been telling people that they should vote for the SNP.
We were first or second in every constituency across the country at the last election. So if you don't want to increase Theresa May's majority, and she's on the ropes right now, then in Scotland the only way to make sure you don't do that is to vote SNP and return a strong SNP voice for Scotland.
Obviously, she wasn't listening to follow the leader there, because as if she had been listening, she'd know that Theresa May is in Norfolk. I don't know whether they have ropes. Probably they do for fishing or something. Finally, the very Welsh Leanne Wood has been speaking at a Rhondda gathering event during the BBC election debate. She kept bringing the conversation back to Brexit.
Do you need more workers from outside Wales?
Well, we're quite happy with the ones we've got.
So why do you need a visa system to attract more workers to Wales then?
Because Theresa May is going to end freedom of movement.
There we go. Leanne Wood there. And there we do have it, the very final follow the leader until the next election, which by recent standards will probably be in a couple of months.
Follow the leader, 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 follow the leader. Follow the leader, 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 follow the leader.
Leader, leader.
Follow the leader, 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 follow the leader.
Leader.
Follow the leader, 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 follow the leader.
And freeze!
And there it is, following the leader. In the next half an hour of the programme, well, there's work experience punditry. Today we bring you a roundup of hipster nonsense. All that to come. Just after 2:30, though, Victoria has the news headlines on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
Labour's Barry Gardner has told Talk Radio his shadow cabinet colleague Diane Abbott has a long-term illness. The party says the shadow Home Secretary has been temporarily replaced due to ill health. On Monday, Ms Abbott struggled to answer questions about a key counter-terrorism review. Mr Gardner says his thoughts are with her.
I understand that it's a condition which has been diagnosed and is long-term. I think anybody who's seen her in the past couple of weeks would realise that she was not, you know, she was showing that she was not well.
Meanwhile, political party leaders are busy trying to push home their key election messages before the UK goes to the polls tomorrow. Among them, Theresa May has been campaigning in London and Southampton, and the Lib Dems' Tim Farron on a whistle-stop tour taking in six locations, including Solihull and St Albans. Co-leader of the Green Party, Jonathan Bartley, has told Talk Radio they have big, bold messages that have got people talking.
For example, the idea that we're going to have to think about the way we work in the future with the threats that are coming from automation, the insecurity around work and the gig economy. You know, thinking, for example, about how we get better flexibility, four-day weeks.
In other news, eight people have now been killed in the London Bridge terror attack. Police divers have pulled a body from the Thames, which is believed to be that of a French man who'd been missing since Saturday night. And several UK supermarkets are investigating whether corned beef they've sold came from a Brazilian farm accused of using slave labour. Waitrose has already pulled a brand of meat from its shelves after an investigation by The Guardian. The weather dry and sunny for many this afternoon, with rain clearing in the northwest. Some more rain, though, for the southwest later. Highs of 20 degrees is more in 23 minutes.
Are you sort of alluding to the fact that I went to the news a little late?
It wasn't just a little late, was it?
Well,
we were doing news ourselves, though, with an election update.
That's right, for the final day of campaigning.
Oh, if I'd known that, I just wouldn't have bothered to do the headlines. If you'd got the news covered.
Yeah, we got it covered.
You should have told me.
David Edwards writes on Twitter, funny how Follow the Leader that we were just doing there is one of the better features on this programme, yet it was created by Jake Yap. I've got news for you, David, though it wasn't, of course. It was created by Cornelius, part of this show's production team, and Cass, also part of this show's production team. Mm. So stop.
Spoiling the illusion of radio, John.
Same.
Behind the magic. The curtain has dropped.
David Edwards tweeting about it. He's pointing out his error. That's all I'm doing. I want the, you know, credit where it's due.
Yeah, for once.
Yeah. Fair enough. Right, have you finished?
Yeah.
Do you have an animal-based tease?
A police dog.
Good.
Animal news.
Yes, coming in around an hour's time. From Victoria, it's her bonus news feature. It's there just to make up the time, if we're honest. And it has to be there to make up the time, because her bulletins are shorter than they used to be, and she still gets paid the same. Thank you, Victoria.
Thanks,
though. She's back later. It's Talk Radio. Afternoons.
Election Night Live with the two mics. Simulcast on Talk Radio and Talk Sport. Mike Parry's blood pressure.
Gain!
Mike Graham's will to live.
Loss.
One bottle of Glenfiddich.
Hold!
It's the most exciting election in living memory. You can spend it in the company of some of the most searingly brilliant political minds in the country.
Or you can listen to me and Mike Graham.
Stay up all night for the Two Mics Partly Political Broadcast.
It's a well-hung parliament of politics, partying and Prosecco.
Results, analysis and opinion with two blokes, neither of whom have had an election in years. Election Night Live with the Two Mics. Through the night from one, as the results roll in. Simulcast live on Talk Radio and Talk Sport.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
I am him. Right, so work experience punditry. Regular listeners know how this works. We drag one of our work experiences in here, taking them away from the dull drudgery of their ordinary duties, whatever they are, photocopying cups of tea, that sort of thing, being insulted by Julia Hartley Brewer, and welcome them into the studio, put them in front of a microphone, and give them something proper to do in the industry, i.e. reviewing stuff. We do music, we do TV, we do film, we do geeky, gadgety stuff, and on a Wednesday we bring you hipster nonsense. And Hannah's here. Hello, Hannah.
Hello.
Hello. Now, we're going to go to traffic and travel momentarily, but if you could see your way to sort of, I don't know, give us an inkling of what we might be looking forward to in the world of squared-off beards and ankles.
Pop-ups everywhere.
Yeah, more just generally.
More generally, cookie dough pop-ups, gin pop-ups.
Yeah.
Limoncello pop-ups.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All of them.
It's all the pop-ups today,
all of them today, yeah. Right.
Okay. Still popping up. Still popping up. Okay, Hannah. So, by the way, work experience-wise, what was the worst thing anyone made you do?
Come on air now. No, I'm joking. I'm having a great time.
Yeah.
I enjoyed every moment.
Did you?
I had a great time. Everyone was lovely.
Very convincing. Right, Hannah, with us next for Work Experience Punditry. Talk Radio in the afternoons.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A new kind of talk radio. We'll get you talking.
Man, that Hypnos bed is comfortable. Time to get up. Work to do. Shower, tick. Shave, tick. Dressed, next question. Time for all-you-can-eat brekkie with the fellas. Bacon, sausages and more bacon. Probably even some beans. Today is a big day. Because you are scaffolders. Whatever your story, this is a great place to start. Premier Inn. Premier You.
Breakfast prices and options may vary. Exclude certain locations.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the trade goes.
At Selco Builders Warehouse, we've got real deals on a wide range of trade-quality building products. In June, we've got a 10-litre tub of Leyland Tray Brilliant White Super Latex Matte Emulsion-Friendly £13.75 XVAT. Now that's a real deal. See selcobw.com for even more real deals and to find your nearest branch.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the trade go.
There's too much pressure in our lives these days. Like making sure your phone doesn't run out of battery. I'm at 3%. So when it comes to selling your car, try webuyanycar.com. Our branch staff are there to make life easy. There's no pressure. You can choose to sell or not to sell. Could someone charge me up quick? To sell your car quickly and easily, enter your reg number now at webuyanycar.com. Admin fee may apply. For more information, see webuyanycar.com/info.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
The M62 is very heavy eastbound. There's a vehicle fire near Ishworth Moor, junctions 22 to 23, and you're down to one lane there. There's also a broken down vehicle on the clockwise M60, which is causing heavy traffic near 16 for Pendlebury. No change for traffic in Toaster. Still very busy with the southbound A43, closed from the A5 for some resurfacing work. In Felixstowe, the southbound A14 is still blocked at the Doxburg roundabout for the recovery of an overturned lorry. And Newport's westbound in 4 still keying past an accident near junction 24 for Caldra. I'm Joanna Adams.
Mmm, having your cake and eating it. That's like getting the Samsung J5 from Tesco Mobile. 500 megabytes, 5,000 texts and 500 minutes for just £15 a month. Plus, we'll throw in 2,000 extra club card points. That's a tasty £20 off your weekly shop. But hurry, offer ends on the 25th of June. So visit in-store or online today. Smile, you're on Tesco Mobile.
Requires a club card and a 24-month credit agreement at 0% APR representative of Tesco Mobile Limited. Standard UK landlines and mobiles includes EU roaming. Club card rules apply. T's and C's at TescoMobile.com.
And here's the result. Paul Ross's phone bill. Gain. James Wells' bald patch. Gain. Mike Parry's sanity. Loss.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio.
Do we have the swing at Luton?
No.
The radio station that's always first past the post with up-to-the-minute election news, expert comments and instant reaction.
You came up with all the questions I hope nobody would ask.
Wherever you stand, have your say on the nation's most outspoken radio station.
I'm waiting for a rather important call.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK. UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, good afternoon to you if you're just joining us. In a moment, work experience punditry. However, we've been looking at the news. It's all quite complicated. As you know, it's the final day of electioneering, of campaigning before the country goes to the booths tomorrow. We cannot talk by law about anything to do with the election tomorrow, apart from saying what the weather's like. That's true.
That's not to do with the election.
No, you can report on the weather on election day. Okay. You can actually say, if you're going out to vote, here's the weather. You can say that.
That's sort of irrelevant.
Yeah, but that's the point.
I could say what I'm having for lunch on election day.
Yes, you can. And tomorrow we look forward to that exclusive. But that's all we've got tomorrow.
Do you know what you're having?
No, I don't.
Don't spoil it now. This is all we've got tomorrow.
Just a little tease.
I don't want to affect the result of tomorrow's lunch.
We don't want to know what he's having for lunch.
You'll have a lot of time to prepare for it, though, because you've not got to go out and vote.
It'd be a balanced diet, is what it'd have to be. You'd have some greens, wouldn't you? As part of that balanced diet.
Well, you started this now, and you're going to have to follow it through.
And you'd have to...
You need six more ingredients, my friend.
Okay.
You're going to sit back and watch this go.
Then you'd have to eat blue... That's a Tory.
Toffees.
What? Blue string pudding. You'd have to eat a bit of red Leicester.
You could have just gone blue cheese. You could probably do it all with just cheese.
Is there purple cheese? Mouldy cheese that's gone purple. Bruised cheese. Who have I missed out? Plaid Cymru.
Yeah.
Plaid
Cymru. And the SNP.
A Welsh cheese. Scottish cheese. And sort of middle-of-the-road cheese.
Regular cheese.
And that's what you're going to be having for lunch tomorrow as part of a balanced diet. We've got away with that.
Seven cheeses?
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, what I'm getting at is that the news is quite complicated.
Oh, I can't get my head around it.
No, I know. It's all right that we're here to help, because what we do is we take the current affairs and the news and we run it through the Japanese poetry to make it easy. Seven syllables. It's the news in haikus.
New Zealand boat cap. Sizes in race, you could say. They went down under.
The news in haiku. Talk Radio, afternoons. I'm John Holmes, hello. And now we come to work experience punditry. Hannah's with us, as you know, if you were listening before the traffic and the travel there. And she's going to be rounding up a load of pop-up nonsense, hipster stuff that just won't go away. Hateful hipster nonsense. Any pop-up cheese restaurants, first of all, just to...
Not that I found, but I'm sure there are.
I'm sure there probably are.
If not, gap in the market.
There we go. All right, so where are we starting, Hannah?
We're starting at Old Street Station.
Yeah, London's Old Street. Yeah, go
there's going to be a pop-up cookie dough bar.
Right, and I mean that sounds like this probably should have been one of those before, because cookie dough—that's a thing.
Yeah.
But a cookie dough bar—it's
literally you go in and it's like ice cream, but instead you get scoops of cookie dough.
Right.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But don't you like cookie dough?
I don't. I think it's massively overrated. Why would you eat a raw ingredient?
Oh, so good.
No,
you never eaten cake mix though.
Yeah, but again, I prefer it cooked as a cake.
Ah,
didn't
worse.
You used to when you were a kid and your mum was making a cake? Didn't you lick her bowl out?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, that was the sort of thing, wasn't it? You get your mum's made a cake in a big bowl, right? And you'd run your finger around the rim, wouldn't you? And you'd have the...
Is that what you'd do?
Yeah, and you have the cake mix, don't you? Because it's delicious. But now cookie dough, which I presume is an Americanism, because we call it cake mix, they call it cookie dough, right?
Well,
no,
like
it's a different
mix.
Thing.
Is it?
Yeah,
because it makes a cookie and not a cake.
Well, it's all part of the same thing, isn't it?
No.
Well... Anyway, right, but the cookie dough that you get in cookie dough, it's not just cookie dough, is it? It's mixed with ice cream, or is this just...
It's just cookie dough, and you can get ingredients, including stuff like unicorn food with marshmallows and sprinkles, or
Christ
emoji God. Poos with chocolate chips.
Emoji poos.
Someone's had to think of this.
Yes. Yes, they have. And not only have they thought of it, but instead of dismissing it, they've created a pop-up with it in.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, this it's all a bit hateful, isn't it? Don't you think? I mean, unicorn food, really?
Unicorns need feeding.
Yes. Would you go there, Hannah? You strike me as the sort of person that would.
What's that supposed to
well,
mean?
Well, I mean, in a nice way.
In a nice way?
You just said unicorns need feeding.
You just said it was hateful.
Well.
In a nice way, you'll go to a hateful pop-up bar.
For unicorn food. It's not unicorn. Don't call it not you, them. Don't call it unicorn food. It's not. It's just some cookie dough with marshmallows in it.
I mean, yeah, that is true.
Yeah. What, I mean, aside from flavoured cookie dough, I mean, how do they, how do you eat, is it in bowls that you just scoop bits out? I mean, how are they serving bowls. This nonsense? Not Lynn Bowles from the Traffic and Travel on Radio 2. No, not her.
You get little, like, it's basically like ice cream. So I think you get cones or, like, little pots. But instead of getting a, like, vanilla ice, you get unicorn food.
Don't say that. Right, well, again, it's just one of those ideas someone's... In terms of the cookie dough itself, I mean, was it destined to become cookies? Or... Because cookie dough is kind of a leftover, is it? Or is it just...
I think it's being especially made because they've done stuff so there's, like, no raw egg in it as well. So it's, like, specially to be made and eaten raw.
Is there a cake mix? If there's a difference between the two, which you insist there is, Cornelia.
Yes, there is.
Right. Then is there a pop-up cake mix restaurant?
Not yet.
Because that's a gap in the market there, isn't it?
I don't think eating raw cake mix is incredibly healthy, though.
Well, like, neither's cookie dough, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but, like, safe.
Why not?
Because it's got, like, raw egg in.
Yeah.
You can eat raw egg. People raw drink egg. Raw egg, don't they?
Have it all the time. Not back a raw egg every morning.
That's fine. That's allowable.
What? So basically, when you maybe fry an egg in the morning, just egg. Like a cake mix, you'll go around the edge of the shell and drink the remainder of the egg.
Or the lever to be balanced.
We don't have to be balanced on that.
Okay, fine. But you can't. But my point is, right? If there's a gap in the market, why can't we open a cake mix? Because cake mix was delicious when I was a child. You know, that was the thing, wasn't it? You ate the cake mix.
Give it 6 months. That'll be one.
I think we should come up with it. We still haven't done our mustard pop up, by the way, from a few months ago. That was called Inglorious Mustards, which I thought is a good idea. That's a good name for it. Anyway, all right. Cookie dough. What else?
There's a pop up gin bar coming on Saturday, which is World Gin Day, which is apparently a thing.
Right.
There is a World Gin Day. Someone has decided that. It's going to be at London's Floating Pocket Park.
What the hell's that?
It's a little park on the Grand Union Canal in the Paddington Basin. And it's a little park which floats. And there's going to be a gin bar. So it is going to be a floating gin bar.
Right. I mean, is it an actual floating park?
That's what I'm getting the impression it is. It opened a few months ago, I think.
Right. Is it floating in gin, to be clear? Have they
not
have
floating
they,
in gin.
Again, they've
it's
missed a trick.
It's floating in water.
Drain the canal. Did you say canal basin?
It's on the Grand Union Canal and Paddington Basin.
Right, there you go. Drain that of water.
Yep.
Fill it instead with botanicals.
Yep.
Right? And float it on that. And you can just lean over the side of the floating park and scoop the gin from the very essence of the area, couldn't you? Just trying to, again, I'm trying to help with the ideas. You see, these pop-up people, they only go halfway for me. And if they were really thinking outside the box, like I am, then that's what you do. People would be more interested in that.
So you drain part of what I think is the Thames and fill it with gin?
Yes, I would. And what's more, that's cleaner because you can't, you look at a canal and you can't really see the old stuff people have lobbed into it, can you? The old shopping trolleys and the rats and stuff, right? But if you drain it and fill it with distilled, nice, clear gin, that would help with the cleaning up process because people would go, there's a dirty old trolley in that gin, and people would get it out. So in many ways, I'm kind of helping the environment as well.
Precisely.
Just a hero, mate.
That's what they call me. Are they, when you go down to this float, is it a temporary floating park? It's not a permanent park.
The park is permanent, but the gin bar is going to be temporary and it's just going to run throughout the summer.
Okay. And how many different kinds of gin have they got, do they say?
They've not listed how many, though my favourite thing is you can try signature cocktails such as We've Got the Whole World Gin Our Hands.
Okay, they've gone down the pun
menu. We've got the whole world.
We don't need you to sing it.
Gin our hands, yeah, we got the whole world. Yes. Gin our hands, we got the whole world.
Gin our hands,
we got the whole world. Gin our hands.
Yes.
He's got you and me, brother. Gin his hands, he's got you and me, brother. Gin his hands, he's got you and me, brother.
Gin his hands, he's got the whole world. Gin his hands. Chorus again.
Gin his hands.
He's got the whole world. Gin his hands.
He's got the whole world.
Gin his hands.
Yeah. Anyway, while they're doing that, we'll carry on talking, Hannah. So,
okay.
What other hateful things have you got in your list that they will probably sing about, given half the opportunity?
Well, something I came across today is someone's been pickling avocados.
Anything on that, gents?
Pickling.
Give us a minute.
All right, fine. Go and carry on.
So I thought it might have reached peak ridiculousness when they made those avocado lattes a few weeks ago.
Ah, now this was a coffee in a scooped out avocado.
Yeah.
Yeah. That tasted of avocado.
I think so. Apparently they did it ironically to start with, but it's something which people seem to be going to this coffee bar and now ordering.
That's the whole hipster way, frankly.
Yeah.
It was meant to be a joke. Look what's happened.
It's all just a joke.
So this one is...
There's a video on how to pickle your own avocados. And the video says, you'll try them and you'll like them.
Well, I can understand. Yeah, I could. I mean, I can see that. It's not as weird as putting coffee in one.
I think it's quite weird pickling avocados.
Well, you'd eat a pickled beetroot, wouldn't you? Or a pickled onion.
Yeah.
Or a pickled peck of pickled pepper.
I mean, that's true.
So what's wrong with pickle? You could probably pickle anything.
Yeah.
I'd eat a pickled chip. I'd eat pickled cheese. I like a pickle.
Okay, so maybe this is one for you.
Yeah.
You can have some pickled avocados.
All right, just a quick update on whether or not... The choir have come up with this song.
Avo! Oh! Always pickle avocados! You got the power to know!
You got the pickle to avo! It's the first line work.
And it wasn't your best work.
He's got the hoe!
Alex has just messaged, seriously, he's con drunk today.
Not today.
It's the one day he's not. Anyway, finally, is there one other thing to annoy us, Hannah?
A bar in Coventry is selling the first ever unicorn martini.
Yep, that's done it. Thank you, Hannah. what's in it? Marshmallows and sprinkles.
Candy floss vodka and raspberry vodka with ice cream.
Right. Get out. Yeah. Hannah, thank you so much for coming in. There it was, work experience punditry, as rounded up by Hannah, pop-up stuff. Right, still to come on the programme, here's some things for you. There will be the big debate just after 3 o'clock. We will be talking this final day of election campaigning, as we know. The country goes to the booths tomorrow. We'll be talking to a cross-party MP, a former Tory. He's also former Labour, former UKIP, former Lib Dem, former Green, former every party. He's been in every party, but we will be talking to him. He's now an independent candidate. Before 3:30, and then in the last bit of the programme, bonus news from Victoria and a game of banned or perceived ethnic slur. All on the way in the next hour on Talk Radio in the afternoons, where I am, John Holmes.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio.
The decisions, the debates, the deadline.
Oh, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm bored.
Join the conversation party. Talk Radio.
This June, if you test drive the Qashqai, Juke or X-Trail, Nissan will give you an extra £650 off. That's up to a massive £2,900 on a Qashqai at only 4.99% APR representative. Yes, Nissan will give you money off just for test driving our best-selling crossover range. I know it sounds unlikely, but that's what it says here in this script. I haven't read it wrong. I'm a properly trained actor. I've done Shakespeare and telly and hundreds of voiceovers. Search Nissan offers if you don't believe me. Nissan. Innovation that excites. Nissan Finance. 4.99% APR representative. Offer excludes Vizier grade. Subject to status over 18s. Order and register before the 2nd of July from participating dealers only. T's and C's at nissan.co.uk.
My thing? My abs. They're big on Instagram. Well, they were until I dropped a dumbbell on my phone. Anyway, I need a replacement 12 megapixel camera for maximum muscle definition. But my budget is lower than my body fat ratio. So, you know what? It's got to be refurb.
Russell's thing. It's clearly a refurbished smartphone from eBay. That's as good as new with 12 month seller warranty. Buy refurbished tech on eBay and save up to 50% versus new. eBay. Find your thing.
When the McCulloch man mows his lawn with his McCulloch lawnmower, he powers through even the toughest grass with one goal in mind, to finish the job before the match starts. And with his McCulloch lawnmower, he's got the power to get the job done. That's why his mates envy his lawn, as well as his team. Get your McCulloch lawnmower and other garden power tools at good DIY stores nationwide or at McCulloch.com. McCulloch, the power to get the job done.
And here's the result.
Paul Ross's phone bill. Gain. James Whale's bald patch. Gain. Mike Parry's sanity. Loss.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio.
Do we have the swing at Luton?
No.
The radio station that's always first past the post with up-to-the-minute election news, expert comments and instant reaction.
You came up with all the questions I hope nobody would ask.
Wherever you stand, have your say on the nation's most outspoken radio station.
I'm waiting for a rather important call.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
Yes, it is, and it's just about 3 o'clock. I'm John Holmes. Here's Victoria with the news.
Thanks, John. Coming up, last-minute push for votes. Hear from the mother of London attacker and find out who's poised to head up the FBI.
Talk Radio.
Leaders of Britain's biggest parties have been crisscrossing the country in a whirlwind last-minute bid for votes ahead of tomorrow's general election. The Liberal Democrat leader Tim Farron is calling on people to vote tactically to avoid a Tory landslide, while Theresa May insists she will protect national security. But UKIP leader Paul Nuttall's told Talk Radio the Conservatives are copying his party.
We have led the agenda in this election. I'm in a situation now whereby I go out and say something and 24 hours later I end up with the Prime Minister saying almost exactly the same. It's a crazy situation whereby we're influencing government policy without not necessarily being in the House of Commons.
It comes as a shadow cabinet colleague of Diane Abbott has told Talk Radio he understands she has a long-term health condition. Former Shadow Policing Minister Lynn Brown is standing in as Shadow Home Secretary. Ms Abbott's tweet is saying she will rejoin the fray soon. In other news, the mother of one of the London Bridge terrorists has asked for forgiveness for her son's actions. Valeria Kalina, whose son Yusuf Zagba was among three attackers who stabbed people to death, says she fully understands the anguish of relatives. She's told Sky News she tried to prevent her son from travelling to Syria and thought he was doing well since moving to London.
I have no words. It is too big. I say I can understand their pain because as a mother I feel it too. I don't know if there is any sense in asking for forgiveness, but if there was, then I would ask for it.
The death toll of the attack has risen to 8 after a body was pulled from the Thames last night. A nursery worker has reportedly been slashed with a knife in northeast London by 3 women who chanted Allah. Police say they're not treating it as terrorism. And Donald Trump has announced who he wants to replace sacked James Comey as director of the FBI. The US president says he'll nominate former Justice Department official Christopher Wray.
Thank you very much indeed, Victoria. It's always good to have you bringing us up to speed with world events.
That's very nice of you to say, John.
Yes, and in half an hour, bring us up to speed with events from the animal kingdom, I understand.
That's right, and it's going to be a really cute edition of Animal News. Because I feel like we need that.
Yeah, in these troubled times.
Yeah.
I agree. And for those that are wondering what that is, in case we've managed to retain any of Tommy Boyd's listeners, although I appreciate that's unlikely, what that is that Victoria's bulletins are shorter than they used to be, by a third, in fact. So she has to make the time up at 3:30 every day, and we bring you animal, vegetable, and mineral news on consecutive days, and just sort of cover everything off. And today, just the turn of animal news. That's why it's there. I know you said police dog earlier.
Yes.
What other cute, to use your word, stories might we expect?
One to do with a panda.
Yes. Is that all we're getting?
Yeah.
Okay, that's connected in a way, isn't it?
How?
Well, police, panda car. They used to drive panda cars, didn't they?
Well, I think you're going back a long time.
Yeah, but
and also it's panda bear, not car,
okay,
that I'll be referring to.
All right. Well, we look forward to it. Whatever. And now here is...
No.
Are you under the weather?
No.
Oh, here it comes.
Talk Radio, national weather.
And now, you didn't let me finish. And now here is the weather.
Good recovery. Dry and sunny for many this afternoon with rain clearing in the northeast, but there'll be more rain in the southwest, highs of 20 degrees.
Thank you. Always end on a high. Now, the sports, as regular listeners will know, is pre-recorded by Ben. Today, though, at 3 o'clock, it's coming live for balance... from all the party leaders speaking at once.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. It's understood Manchester United have had a £52 million bid for Alvaro Morata rejected by Real Madrid. The European champions want over £78 million for the Spanish striker. If United fail to agree a deal for Morata, it's thought they'll instead try to sign highly rated forward Andrea Belotti from Torino. The British and Irish Lions have suffered a big setback after losing their second tour match in New Zealand. Warren Gatland signed for beaten 22-16 by Super Rugby franchise Auckland Blues at Eden Park. Despite today's defeat, head coach Warren Gatland remains upbeat.
I thought it was a big improvement from Saturday, and that team's been together, and we will continue to improve that. Yeah, we would have learned a lot from tonight, learned a lot about the opposition, and we will keep improving.
The Lions are next in action against the Crusaders in Christchurch on Saturday. Finally, Novak Djokovic is out of the French Open, beaten in the quarterfinals in straight sets by Frenchman Dominic Thiem. Britain's world number one Andy Murray takes on Kei Nishikori this afternoon. That's the latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
There. All the party leaders speaking at once. All seven of them there. And I imagine that very much helped decide who you're going to vote for tomorrow.
Yeah, I can't.
Listening to that. Anyway, so that was Ben with the pre-recorded sport live from a speech by all seven party leaders at once, as I say. Now, you are listening to Talk Radio. We're going to be doing the big debate next.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
Where do we begin?
John Holmes. Welcome back, Mr. Holmes.
Thank you. Radio. So, still to come in the next half an hour of the programme, as it is election eve, and as I say, don't forget to be putting out those mince pies and glass of sherry for each of the party leaders, each of the candidates in your area. Never forget to be doing that before you go to bed tonight. That's traditional, of course, on election eve. We will be talking to a cross-party MP, an MP who's been in every single party, continues to cross the floor to be in all of them, now an independent candidate. He'll be joining us before 3.30. And in the last half an hour of the programme, you may have seen this story about Harvard, prospective Harvard students having their invitations to go to Harvard rescinded after they were on a private Facebook group, throwing round a potentially... or perceived ethnic slurs, to quote the news story, an offensive joke. So we're going to be playing a game of band or ethnic slur. Is it the name of a band or is it a perceived ethnic slur? In the last half an hour of the programme today. But it is, of course, now time for the big debate. Let's do it.
Talk Radio.
Big debate. So as we've been hearing, Diane Abbott is unwell. Now, she has, of course, received hundreds of good wishes, although she is probably unable to accurately count them. But let's add ours on as well and hope she gets back to herself, being herself very soon. Now, for balance, and we need to be balanced, as you know, certainly on election eve, we should say that Theresa May is not ill and is this afternoon running through a field in front of the press. Now, it's not a wheat field. This time, though, you'll have heard her say about a childhood misdemeanour of running through a wheat field. But this one is a minefield, and it's a minefield of human rights legislation, which some critics have said she's attempting to trample all over. All that time, people were blaming aliens for crop circles. And instead, it turns out to have been Theresa May cutting the numbers of wheat stalks with her feet. Just like when she grew up and cut the numbers of police and border guards when she was homesick. Also for balance, because we should mention the big parties in this, of course, the Lib Dems went into a wheat field once but quickly U-turned and went out of it. UKIP would deport foreign wheat. And the Green Party won't eat Weetabix because it leads to environmental damage of wheat fields. Or something. Now, on the line listening to that political balance there, and is Wilbur. Hello, good afternoon, Wilbur.
Good afternoon, boy. How are you doing?
Very well, Will, but thank you for joining us on Talk Radio. Thanks for calling in on a telephone number. Now, you've been listening to me talk about wheat there, of course, but you have called in because you heard me say wheat, and that reminded you of something else that grows, and that is coconuts, I understand. You're part of this anti-coconut lobby, is that right?
That's right, Jonathan, that's right. I'm part of the anti-coconut lobby, you see. Now, I'm part of a society, Jonathan.
Yes.
I'm part of a society. We're called the Civilization Opposed to Coconut Killings.
Right.
Okay, I advise not Googling that acronym, but, you know, it's a little unfortunate. But yes, we are opposed to coconut killings.
Yes.
Do you realise, Jonathan, that over 150 people every year are killed by coconuts falling on their head?
I see, right, and those are the statistics. And that is, for you, reason enough to ban the coconut altogether. Just get rid of
them. It's reason enough for me to ring into a little-known radio show and talk about it. That's absolutely right.
Well, let me bring in Harry as well, because Harry has also called into a little-known radio show. Good afternoon, Harry.
Oh, hello there, John.
Yes.
You must know this.
Well, hang on. Wait a moment, because I haven't asked you to make your point yet. Just hang on.
All right. So now get down.
That'll do it. Harry, would you like to make your point?
Yeah. I'd love coconuts.
Great.
The bigger, rounder, and hairier, the better.
Yep. Right.
Whenever I devour coconuts, it always has to be in a pair. One is never enough,
right,
and more than two.
Do you eat the hairy part as well?
The hairy part can be used for some sort of brushing. Like, I do my dishes with the hairs.
Yeah.
Right? But nothing beats the hairy part anyway. But the round part is really nice.
Yes.
And the fact that they're full of milk and they're swilling around is really nice as well.
But what, Harry, let's take Wilbur's point here, if I could. What about the numbers of coconuts that fall on people's heads every single year?
Well, it's just one of the things you've got to deal with to have a tasty treat, you know.
Right. So you're saying it's acceptable? It's acceptable collateral damage?
It's fine. What did you say, 150 people? Well, that's an out, that man.
Right. Well,
absolutely an out.
What do you make Wilbur, I ask you this because you're in the anti-coconut lobby, but horses, of course, have coconuts, as we know, nailed to their feet to make the clip-clopping noise, don't they? You know,
that's right, yes.
That's right. But what would you, if you're going to ban coconuts, right, now the clip-clopping noise is quite nice, you know, as a sound. What would you nail to a horse's foot instead of a coconut?
Well, you know, I'd probably, you know, follow the bells and whistles, you know,
after
the little nursery rhyme, you know, put those in instead. They still make a lovely noise when they ride by, you know, you'd be able to tell they were coming, you know, like bells on her fingers and rings on her fingers and bells on her toes. Well, we could have rings and bells on a horse's foot.
So sort of like a sort of equine Morris dancer.
Oh, that'd be lovely, yes. You know, we could dance around the pole, you know, and the horse could dance around as well. You know, we could ride the horse, and we could double the people around a Morris pole. That'd be very nice. And, of course, the best thing is that Morris pole doesn't have any coconuts on it, so no one's going to get killed inadvertently by a falling droop.
Harry, he makes a valid point.
We need those coconuts on those horses' feet.
Well,
and clopping all over the shop.
I know, but you say that, but we haven't tried the alternative, have we? Should we not give it a chance?
We don't need to try the alternative, man.
Right.
Just let them horses clippity-clop all over the shop, right?
Yeah.
With coconuts on their feet, there's no problems. Right. Now, I love the milk, and you haven't mentioned the fact that there's loads of milk inside coconuts. I did mention that before.
You did, yes. Right?
But it's difficult to get the milk out, but if you give them a good bash against something rock solid,
yeah,
you know, then you can suck on that big, round, hairy coconut and suckle out that sweet, tasty milk.
Yeah, but the thing...
I tell you...
But the problem
you need to experience that, John.
Well, I'll give it a miss. But the problem is the coconut. It's you make a good point. The coconut is so hard to break into. It's almost there's other fruits and so forth, right? That are easier to get into than a coconut. So why waste your time?
It doesn't give you a challenge, man. If you have a banana or something that's really soft and you can just sort of like you can open that with your teeth if you wanted to.
Yeah.
But we a coconut, you know, you've got to give it a good old bash.
Yeah,
and that's the fun part, you know, and it's being very hairy as well.
I want to just bring in again. This is we'll balance this up, but Theresa May, we know, ran through fields of coconuts as a child. She said that. Would you're denying her that simple pleasure, Wilbur?
No, absolutely. I mean,
yeah.
I think she did say that was the worst thing that she's ever done.
Yeah,
and you know, I mean, I think I probably, you know, on balance.
We must be balanced. We must be balanced. So be
careful.
We must be balanced.
That's certainly one of the things she's done.
Okay.
You know, running through coconut fields is not something that people on the society, civilization opposed to coconut killings would advocate.
Jeremy Corbyn, to balance it, as we have to, has said, like with Trident, he's been accused of being soft on coconuts. He said he wouldn't throw a ball, doesn't want to be responsible for hurting coconut. He's coconut shy.
That's very good.
Thank you. Staying away from current politics, actually, let's look at this for just Britain, of course, used to be, and you'll like this, Harry, because it's about the inside of the coconut, which you're obsessed with.
I love the insides.
I know. The coconut mines that we used to have in the 80s, Mrs. Thatcher, of course, closed them down. We were the biggest export of bounty bars back in the day, and when Mrs. Thatcher, of course, you remember the riots between police and confectioners, who could forget? But the idea that we used to export the bounty bars, Harry, is something the days you want back, I suppose.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with an overpriced chocolate bar full of the coconut delights, you know.
Yeah.
And I think everyone should have them. And they come in all shapes and sizes. I usually have the one that's got three different bars.
Yeah.
You know, you get the smaller ones where it's the fun size bar. But I'll get the one that's like a duo one. So you've got three because I'm very greedy, me. Like.
Okay. But Wilbur,
Harry, I'm sorry. There's an issue of national security when it comes to the coconut. Now, in November 2010, right, Guardian reported that the Indian government removed coconuts from trees outside of Mumbai's Gandhi Museum for fear, and this is a quote, for fear that a nut, although I should point out, a coconut is not a nut, it's a drupe, it's a kind of fruit, but never mind, for fear that a nut would descend onto the head of President Obama. We do not want President Obama, or now not President Obama, as he's officially called, being hit on the head with a falling droop, no matter how much milky loveliness is beneath the mesocarp.
He's absolutely right, though, isn't he, Harry? Why should President Obama be at risk of being hit on the head with a droop?
Might have now, but fake news. Really. He's a load of rubbish.
Nearly
that
answered.
A load of rubbish, that.
Answered. Would you, Wilbur, actually, speaking of that, would you have been happy, say, if the Indian government, as you mentioned there, had replaced the coconuts with bounty bars? So very much the aftermath of a coconut is a bounty bar. Mm. And they wouldn't hurt so much if a bounty bar fell on your head, especially a fun-size one. It's not going to injure you, is it, Wilbur?
Well, no, I think that's a step in the right direction. I mean, I'd like to probably get rid of bounty bars altogether as well. I mean, as we know, a coconut, you grow a coconut by placing a bounty bar in the ground, and you wait until it flourishes into a bounty tree, and then those bounties eventually kind of, you know, they ripen and turn into coconuts.
Yeah, that's right.
It's better, Jonathan, but it's not perfect, you know, and in the civilization opposed to coconut killings, we do think that bounty bars should be eventually eliminated once the main threat of coconuts has been gone away with.
Yeah, all right. Well, look, you both make valid points, but I'm going to throw it open, really, to you, the listener. You've heard Harry and Wilbur's arguments there. Before we go, have you heard about these trials that they're doing in Sweden at all? This is interesting. They have no horses in Sweden. What they have instead is just people clip-clopping with empty halves of coconuts, like in the Monty Python film. And everyone's kind of happy with that, Harry, because the coconut's been scooped out to make the clip-clop sound.
That's really good. And you know, if you scoop out a coconut, here's something a little bit off-subject, right? If you scoop out a coconut and pop a hole in, shove it on a tree, birds can live in it.
Interesting point. All right, listen, sum up the debate for me in one word, Wilbur.
Obama.
Thank you. Harry.
Milky goodness.
Good. Right, what do you think? Do we need coconuts? I mean, there they are, but are they too dangerous to have now? I mean, you know, it is post-Brexit, Bryn. We're on election eve. You know, do we need coconuts? We live in a society now where we've got mobile phone screen protectors and cuss words. Why do we need coconuts, for heaven's sake? What do you think? 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
At Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you'd like.
Get in touch. I'm John Holmes. It's Talk Radio, and that is The Big Debate.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio. The polls, the papers, the policies.
We've grasped the nettle and we've taken it on board.
Join the conversation party. Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm here to trade in my trainers.
Trade in your trainers?
Yeah, they're really old. Didn't buy them here. Seen better days, to be honest. I wouldn't get too close. I want to put them towards some lovely new ones.
Sorry, sir, we don't do that.
Really? Vauxhall do? I just got £2,000 from my old banger to put towards a brand new car.
Yes, you can afford a new car. Scrap your old car, and on top of our other great offers, we'll give you £2,000 scrappage to put towards a shiny new Vauxhall. Visit your local retailer or search Vauxhall Scrappage for more information. Trading car registered in your name for at least 90 days. Offer available to individuals and small businesses. UK supplied vehicles only. Exclusions apply. Limited time at participating retailers. Full T's and C's apply.
At Homebase, we're all about low prices. That's why our charcoal barbecues start from just £9.97 and our gas barbecues from only £99.98. Homebase, always low prices.
Say the end of the month comes rolling around and has been rather a quiet one on the old YouTubing front. But instead of getting to keep that lovely data that you paid for but didn't use, it just disappears. Say, that doesn't seem very fair. But say there was a new mobile company, one that rolls any unused data for you to use next month, next year, or even 3 years later. Well, say hello to Sky Mobile. Sky, believe in better.
You can redeem your data in 1 gigabyte increments. For full terms, go to sky.com/mobile.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
In West Yorkshire, we have 2 lanes closed, very slow traffic. That is due to a car fire that's on the M62 eastbound between junction 22 and junction 23. In Greater Manchester, we have 1 lane closed, slow traffic there due to recovery work and a broken down lorry that's on the M60 clockwise. That's between junction 16 and junction 17. And in Herefordshire, slow traffic in the area and the road is closed. That is due to an accident on the A4103. That's both directions between the B4219 and the B4220. I'm Sammy Jo Lowe.
Gargantuan, megalithic, monumental. Big words for a big deal from Tesco Mobile. On SIM only, we're giving you a colossal 6 gigabytes of data for a minuscule £13.50 a month, plus 3,000 minutes and 5,000 texts, down from £18 a month. That's a saving of £54. But hurry, this offer ends on the 25th of June. So visit in-store or online today. Smile, you're on Tesco Mobile.
Savings over 12 months. Standard UK landlines and mobiles include EU roaming. T's and C's apply. Visit tescomobile.com.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So good afternoon, you are listening to Talk Radio in it. And again, I'd say in it as in the afternoon. I'm not trying to be down with the kids from the 90s by saying in it. Anyway, it's the last day of campaigning, isn't it? You know that because you're across the politics. For candidates up and down our fair land, you will hear them scattered across media outlets, running through the media outlets like Theresa May running through a wheat field, desperately scrounging last-minute votes. Of course, we're Talk Radio. It's no different. Everyone's got an MP on, so let's join in the fray. Joining me on Talk Radio now is the former Tory, former Labour, former Lib Dem, former UKIP, former Green Party, and now independent candidate, Magnus Turner. He's out on the campaign trail today. Good afternoon, Magnus.
Good afternoon, Mr. Holmes. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Very well indeed. But I'm not the one traipsing up and down the land, so you must have tired feet.
Well, do you know, it's the last full day of campaigning, and I realised this morning that I really ought to go out and do some. So I've had a very busy morning indeed.
Good. And so where have you been campaigning today, then?
Well, I've been having a breakfast meeting this morning with people who work in the equestrian sector about the importance of strong, stable management.
Yes.
I was introducing them to my campaign slogan, Magnus Turner MP, for the money, not the view.
Good.
Do
you want to just explain that for us?
I believe it's very clear. I think I'm very clear. I've been very clear.
Yes.
I will continue to be very clear.
Just out of interest, when during your career, and it is illustrious, of course, we've just very mentioned your sort of CV, but when were you clear?
Oh, I have been clear for my entire career. That is actually a slogan I may use in the future.
That is a good one. I can see that written down the side of a bus.
Well, my current slogan is re-engaging a disengaged public.
Yeah.
Because I am something of a gifted communicator. I, if you ask me, my top priority for communicating with the public is very simple. Simplification, simplification, simplification.
Okay.
It really can't be too simple for you.
Well, could you simplify that?
I don't believe I could.
That's
I mean, do I have all the answers? No, I don't.
No. How
am
many?
I always right.
How many of the answers?
More often than not, in fact, yes, I am.
How many?
Do I use the rhetorical device of asking myself questions and answering myself succinctly? Yes, I do.
Yes. How many questions, though, have you answered? If you were to put a number on it, how many questions have you answered?
Well, you know, people want honesty from their politicians. They want directness, integrity,
yes,
authenticity.
To be fair,
I get it.
Mm. You didn't actually answer that question, though. Just saying that.
Well, I think, you know, you can answer a question in many ways, and I've been very clear about the way in which I've just answered yours.
Right. And in terms of how you found the general election campaign as a whole, Magnus, I mean, it's taken various turns, of course. First, we were seemingly fighting it on Brexit. It's turned to security. There are many other issues involved, of course. And how, overall, though, as an overview, as we come to the end of it, how have you found the whole campaign?
Well, I've spent much of it out of the country, in fact, but I've enjoyed it very much. My wife and I have a small home in the south of France, and we needed to go over there and plan a little bit. But but now we're back on the trail, and everything is really marvellous.
And when did you get back, out of interest?
That was in the early hours of this morning, in fact.
Right, good. Where exactly, I mean, are you running, though? Your constituency, of course, I'm assuming there are people in your constituency. Are there people?
Well, do you know, this Sunday, the 11th of June, is the 30th anniversary of the day that I took my seat representing the constituency.
Yes.
Oh gosh, I've been there.
Where is it exactly? Well, exactly. I don't want. I'm going to pin.
And do you know why? Because I have always run unswervingly positive campaigns.
Yes, I'm just going to.
No smears, no dirty tricks. No. Unlike the liars, thieves, and perverts who've stood against me over the years.
Right. I just want to pin you down though on exactly where your constituency is, if I may.
I don't.
Or sorry, for balance. Also, if I Corbyn.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, it's just balancing. I said if I may, but I had to balance that up by saying also if I Corbyn. Where is your constituency?
It's terribly close to my heart, you know. The people of my constituency know that they can trust me. I think I've said all I'm prepared to say on the matter.
Well, yeah, but where is it? And where is it and what is it called? I mean, they're very simple questions.
I don't think I want to get into that level of detail, to be honest.
Right. And the people in it, though, you've met them?
Oh, several times.
Yes.
Several times. As I say, 30 years I've been with them now.
You don't know, do you, where it is or what it's called?
I have definitely been there. I have a home there, as I do in many parts of the country.
Yes, what number home is the one in your constituency?
Oh, my goodness. I suppose it must have been 30 years ago.
What, are your home a year paid for by the taxpayer?
Well, no, they're not all paid for by the taxpayer. We have to flip them every now and again.
Yeah. Who paid for the one in France?
Oh, well, now, look. It's very, very important. If I'm going to fight poverty in this country, I need to have somewhere I can go and plan.
Hmm. And what sort of... again, in terms of the detail of the planning, did you do that?
Well, I have people to do that.
Hmm. You mentioned France. What are your views on Brexit?
Well, now, do you know, I'm no expert... So you'll want to listen to this. But I don't honestly think Brexit is a big issue at this election. No one's been discussing it on my doorstep.
No, that's because you don't know where your doorstep is, though, isn't it?
Well, no, but I mean, I have written about it extensively on Twitter. And I would encourage people to follow me on Twitter and Facebook. I have a team who manage all that for me.
Right.
As regards Brexit, I simply say to you, look, you know, look.
Mm. But I'm looking now at you down the phone, and I don't see your views on Brexit.
Well, do you know, I remember the referendum from last year, and I remember how very hard binary questions are. We had to decide, should we stay or should we leave? And do you know, I could not shake the old song by The Clash,
yes.
Career Opportunities. I just thought that the next few years are going to be a bumper time for politicians of all sides, and should really see me through to, well, retirement or the peerage.
Yes, did you? I mean, did you vote in the referendum? I mean, did you? Were you in the country to vote at that time?
Well,
or were
I
you in one of
vote.
Your?
It's 5 minutes. You'll never get back, isn't it? My wife and I were at Glastonbury, but it was a very difficult night.
Yeah, but what
lining?
Sorry, Glastonbury was a difficult night. Did you what happened? Did your tent get robbed?
No, I mean, I was surprised by the result. I don't mind admitting I disappeared from view for a little while. I'll tell you this in confidence. I wouldn't want this to get out, but I did go on a bit of a bender for a while.
Did you?
The country was in a bit of a tiswas. I just retreated into a haze of champagne, cognac, and schnapps.
Yeah,
while they were still available.
Which way did you vote, out of interest, though? I mean, in terms of
I didn't vote.
No, but in your head.
I voted for what was right for the country.
Yeah. And what was that?
I think I've been very clear.
Right. If you were to become Prime Minister, and I appreciate, as does anyone listening, that that's not going to happen, but if you were ever to become...
Oh, there's no vacancy at the... Oh, there is, actually, isn't there?
Yes. How would you... Because this has been an issue, certainly with the tweets going backwards. You mentioned Twitter. You're on Twitter. Going backwards and forwards between Donald Trump and Sadiq Khan and the US politics, the US getting involved in our politics and vice versa. And I mean, how would you treat Donald Trump? If you were Prime Minister for a day, it probably wouldn't be any longer than that, but how long, you know, how would you treat Donald Trump?
This is a hypothetical question. I never answer hypothetical questions. I am a very close friend of Mr. Trump, and I wouldn't want to say anything unpleasant about him. I think any Prime Minister worth their salt would be wise to give him a wide berth in any room where there's a camera present. I simply say that.
Yeah, do you actually know him, though? Have you met,
oh,
I mean, you say you're a good friend of him, but have you met him or do you know him?
We've been friends for years. We met many years ago at a golf tournament in Pyongyang. We were guests of Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
Who was a marvellous man, you know, tremendous host, treated us like family, which is why we left a little early.
Yes, I was going to say. So otherwise he would have fed you to dogs.
Well, indeed, but... I helped Mr. Trump a few times on the campaign trail. He offered me a few suggestions for policies that I may wish to implement. I didn't feel at the time that the British electorate was quite ready yet for the reintroduction of the ducking stool for suspected witches, but, you know, post-Brexit maybe.
Yeah, do I take from that you are a supporter of Trump? I mean, you're a Trumper?
I feel he is a marvellous man, you know. He really is a wonderful man. Once you get to know him, hardly thuggish at all. And, I mean, he's made mistakes, I don't deny that. Well, he's had alternative triumphs, but, in his position, for example... I don't think I would be giving away any intelligence that came my way. But, you know, you mustn't forget, on the campaign trail, he promised that he would be the very last person to use nuclear weapons, and I believe that.
Yeah.
Among the last few. Really.
Have you spoken to him at all since he assumed office? I mean, have you offered advice?
Well, do you know, we speak all... I speak to him on Twitter and Facebook. He's a little busy to return my calls at the moment, but I'm sure he will. He owes me for a meal. The last time I was over there, just after the election, we did hope to go for a curry together, but it turned out that every Indian restaurant in the state of New York was fully booked that night, as were all the Mexican restaurants, Chinese, Cuban, restaurants employing women, disabled people, gay people. So we ended up in a little Russian place where he's quite well known, and that was lovely. Meal gave me a lovely warm glow.
Good.
I still feel it.
Yes. All right, listen, we're out of time, but thank you very much for joining us. I know you're having a busy day campaigning.
It's been a tremendous pleasure talking to you, Mr. Holmes, and I would encourage all your listeners, very important, get to the polling station tomorrow, cast your vote for the one party that scares you least.
Former Tory, former Labour, former Lib Dem, former UKIP, former Green Party, now independent candidate Magnus Turner, taking time out from his... whatever he was doing. Today, joining us on Talk Radio, which is what you're listening to in the afternoons, I'm John Holmes.
Talk Radio.
And I hope that Magnus will be joining us live from College Green on Friday, of course, results day, where all of Talk Radio's output will be coming from College Green in London, and we'll be there as well with this show coming from either a tent or something. No one's given us the details. But anyway, that'll be happening. But for now, at just after 3:30, here's Victoria with the news headlines on Talk Radio.
Thanks, John. Last minute campaigning's underway ahead of tomorrow's general election. Leaders of the main parties are out in force in an attempt to woo voters. Liberal Democrat leader Tim Farron says he feels his party's in a good position to do well against the Conservatives and Labour.
Tomorrow is a chance for people to say we're not going to give Theresa May a blank cheque to deliver all those cuts to all that we hold dear. And the Liberal Democrats, I think, the one opposition party that can hope to go forward in this election, the most powerful way in many parts of the country to deliver that message.
Theresa May's told a Conservative rally in Norfolk she's the right person to handle negotiations for leaving the EU.
Who do you trust to actually have the strong and stable leadership that is going to deliver the best deal for Britain in Europe? Because Brexit matters. Brexit is the basis of everything else. We need to get that Brexit deal right.
UKIP leader Paul Nuttall has accused the Prime Minister of copying his policies, while Jeremy Corbyn has told supporters in Glasgow he's hoping for a very historic Labour majority. It comes as Shadow Home Secretary Diane Abbott has been temporarily replaced in the role by Lynn Brown. Her Shadow Cabinet colleague Barry Gardiner has told Talk Radio she's been diagnosed with a long-term health condition. Scotland Yard has confirmed the number of people killed in Saturday's London Bridge terror attack has risen to 8. It follows the discovery of a body by police searching for a missing Frenchman who sought to have been thrown into the River Thames during the atrocity. Xavier Tamar's girlfriend was seriously injured after being hit by a van. And Donald Trump has announced he'll nominate former Justice Department official Christopher Wray as his choice to be the next FBI director. The president has tweeted saying his pick to replace James Comey is a man of impeccable credentials. The weather, rain spreading from the southwest this evening. Scotland should stay dry overnight with lows of 7 degrees. That rain should reach Scotland by the morning. A mix of brighter spells and scattered showers elsewhere with highs of 18. There's more in 25 minutes.
I tell you what, there's more now.
Yes.
Because it's time to bring you Victoria's bonus news. It makes up the time. The bulletins are a third shorter than they used to be. We still don't know why, almost a year on from that. But Victoria definitely gets paid the same, so she has to make the time up. And that's why we bring you bonus news, animal, vegetable or mineral. And today we bring you...
From aardvarks to zebras, this is Animal News.
So this, as I mentioned earlier, it's a cutesy bonus news to try and make us all feel and a bit better about the world. Remember, there are nice things.
Okay.
So an Australian police dog has been fired.
Well, that's not
for
nice.
For being too cuddly.
But he's lost his job.
Well... Wait. So, one-year-old Gavel, he loves rolling over and having his belly rubbed.
Well, don't we all?
Don't want to hear about that. Police said he didn't really have the character traits for being a police dog because of it. Because he didn't really like to stand to attention and he wasn't really ready for duty.
Aren't we all?
But... ignoring you. Don't worry, he's not without a job. So, he's been offered a new role and he's...
what is he?
He's a vice regal dog, which means that he's welcoming visitors to Brisbane's Government House. So he now belongs to Governor Paul de Jersey in that role. So that's nice.
Right.
Cuddly Gavel has got a job.
Well, that is good. I mean, to be, you'd think during training, before he became a police dog, they would have noticed this. But you have to then ask yourself the question of did they hope to sort of train the cuddly part out of him?
Well, I think they take a number of puppies into police training.
Right.
And then when they've tried it for a bit, they realise which ones are cut out for it.
Did he become a police? Did he pass the police dog
test? No. So he was in training.
Right.
So they wanted him to be one. He did not pass.
No.
Because he was too nice.
Although, I don't know, as a police dog, you could lull the criminal into a false sense of security, couldn't you? If they sort of let him do the tummy tickle thing.
Yeah.
And you could, if he then strolled up to a criminal robbing a bank or something, right? And you go, get the dog, so criminals run there, and the dog runs in, and the bank, if a police dog comes in, the criminal's going to fight back or run. But if a cute dog comes in and just rolls over, the criminal's likely to go, oh, look at that dog, tickle its tummy. And
not
then while they tickle its tummy, they could get him.
But criminals are mean people, so they might hurt him.
Well,
and also, if this is a change of tact for police dogs, then all the police officers will need retraining themselves.
What,
and that's going to cost more money.
To have their tummies tickled?
No, to deal with Gavel and his niceness.
Right.
So I think you should be quiet now. Moving on. Okay. A family have been reunited with their cat after 8 years.
No.
So Steve Crossland's kitten Sylvie went missing when she was 6 months old in 2009. Yeah. And after spending a year and a half of searching for her, he lost all hope of finding her.
The music's finished.
But it turns out she'd been living with an elderly neighbour two doors down.
Two doors down. That's not living with, that's stolen.
Well, we're trying to put a positive spin on things.
Okay.
And she was discovered when the elderly woman was moved into a care home and returned to her rightful owner.
Aww.
So that's a positive story.
Yeah.
And
hang on, what about the woman who's had it for 2 years?
No, she didn't have it for 2 years. She had it for 8 years.
Eight years.
So she moved into a care home because she was elderly.
Oh, so you're not allowed to take a pet into the care. Oh, I see.
Yeah. And finally, a video has been released of some panda cubs causing mischief in their attempts to be helpful. They're cute. And so it's footage from the Chengdu research base of giant panda breeding, which is China's foremost facility for the species conservation.
Yeah.
And the video shows a one-year-old giant panda cub named Yayun tumbling around in leaves in her enclosure and playing with
and remains to
a broomstick while her keeper's trying to tidy up. It's lovely. I haven't tweeted any pictures because I forgot, because it's been so long since I've done bonus news.
Yeah.
But I can tweet the pictures of the cuteness.
Right. Just back to the panda for a moment. So what's the gist of that? He's rolled around on a broomstick and that's it.
Just rolling around, being cute. The keeper's trying to tidy stuff and she's being disruptive.
Right. And that's news, is it?
Why not?
Okay. Thanks, Victoria, for bringing us
animal news.
Animal news. You're going to tweet that, then?
Well, I can do, or not.
And what account would you use to do that?
Well, the Twitter account I would use, if I can be bothered to do it, is Victoria_Bourne, spelled B-O-U-R-N-E.
Thank you very much indeed.
That's all right.
Victoria there with bonus news.
Animal news.
Yes, it was. And after the break and the traffic and the travel and the so forth, we move to the story of Harvard University, who have, but not quite thrown out, but like the police dog that lost its job before it had a job.
Gavel.
These are Harvard students who, before going to Harvard, they had places, went on a private Facebook group and said some offensive, their words, jokes, and have had their places rescinded. So we're going to play a game of name of band. Is it a band or is it a perceived ethnic slur? Find out next. That's the game we're playing on Talk Radio in the afternoons, which is what this is.
Election Night Live with Julia Hartley Brewer on Talk Radio. Tomorrow night from 10.
Join me, Julia Hartley Brewer, for instant results, breaking news and expert analysis as the votes are counted.
The factions, the fury, the fallout.
Order.
Get knockout election coverage that packs a political punch from Talk Radio's Instrument of Power.
The rumours are completely unfounded. There's no cause for alarm.
Election Night Live with Julia Hartley Brewer. Sorry, Julia Hartley Brewer.
Going to the country.
Tomorrow night from 10 on Talk Radio.
At More Than, we've learned that understanding your pet is tricky. For example, actually means my litter tray, my poo, give it back. It's even harder to understand them when they're sick. So More Than Pet Insurance comes with VetPhone, a 24/7 free-to-call health advice line. Plus, new customers get 25% off online now. We do more than.
Well, I wasn't really sure I'd belong in the army. Just thought they expected guys to be super strong. And before I joined, every press-up felt like 10. So on the second day, one of the lads offered to do some jobs for me for a few evenings so I can get some extra sessions in the gym. Yeah, so 10 years on, I'm our regiment's boxing champion, and that was all thanks to Jonesy. He didn't do much, but it meant a lot.
This is Belonging. Find where you belong. Search Army Jobs. Army, be the best.
Nobody likes to feel they're missing out, do they? So what does 7 million Honda CR-V drivers know that you don't? Why don't you see for yourself? Test drive the world's best-selling SUV before June 11th and we'll give you £500 off the list price. That's on top of a substantial deposit contribution and 5.9% APR representative. Visit honda.co.uk/CRV500 today. Limited time only. Available when purchased with Honda Aspirations personal contract purchase. Terms and conditions apply. See honda.co.uk for details. Indemnities may be required in certain circumstances. Finance is only available to persons age 18 or over, subject to status. Credit provided by Honda Finance Europe PLC.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
In West Yorkshire, the M621 westbound has the exit slip road closed. Very slow traffic there due to an accident. A van involved at Junction 3. Elsewhere in West Yorkshire, one lane closed. Very slow traffic due to an earlier vehicle fire. That's on the M62 eastbound between Junction 22 and Junction 23. In Greater Manchester, one lane closed. Slow traffic there due to recovery work and a broken down lorry. That's on the M60 clockwise between Junction 16 and Junction 17. And in the West Midlands, the M42 southbound has a lane closure on the exit slip road due to an accident at Junction 4. I'm Sammy Jo Lowe.
Gargantuan, megalithic, monumental. Big words for a big deal from Tesco Mobile. On SIM only, we're giving you a colossal 6 GB of data for a minuscule £13.50 a month, plus 3,000 minutes and 5,000 texts, down from £18 a month. That's a saving of £54. But hurry, this offer ends on the 25th of June. So visit in-store or online today. Smile, you're on Tesco Mobile.
Savings over 12 months. Standard UK landlines and mobiles includes EU roaming. T's and C's apply. Visit tescomobile.com.
Greetings, Earthlings. We come in peace. We wish to communicate with your leader.
I'm Howard Hughes. Join me this Sunday night from 10 for a trip into the outer limits.
Untwist the lid on Talk Radio's specimen jar of the psychic, the supernatural, and the simply unexplained.
The Unexplained with Howard Hughes. Sunday night from 10, Earth Time. On Talk Radio.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon to you, if you're just joining us. Good afternoon to you if you've been with us all the way through since 1 o'clock. Not quite so good afternoon to you if you've only just lazily joined us now, is what I'm going to say. What we've been doing, though, of course, is going through the news. It's the final day of electioneering before the country goes to the booths tomorrow. So there's a lot to talk about. There has been a lot to talk about, and we've talked about it. The news, however, is, as we've discovered, very complicated.
Oh, I can't get my head around it.
No, you can't. And neither can many other people. We get letters telling us as much. But we like to do our bit to help. And the way we do that, of course, is by taking the news and subjecting it, really, to ancient Oriental short form verse, to wit, Japanese poetry. 5 syllables, 7 syllables, and 5 syllables. We present the news in haikus.
Marriage is good for the health. That's why Paul Ross gets married so often.
In haikus! Right then. So, if you've been following some of the news, you may be aware, as I was saying earlier, that the Harvard University in the States attacked some students for a private Facebook group they'd set up. Now, these are sort of kids, really, just setting up a private Facebook group to sort of tell what Harvard perceived to be offensive jokes. And their words were ethnic slurs, offensive material, offensive jokes. And there's a lot of argument for and against, I suppose. It's there are a lot of people saying, well, it's free speech. These kids weren't doing it while they were affiliated to Harvard. They weren't doing it on a Harvard computers or websites. This was just kids doing what kids do. I'll be honest with you, if anyone anyone saw our work WhatsApp group, we'd probably all be in prison, I think it's fair to say. But that's what people do, isn't it? People make unacceptable jokes in the privacy of wherever they're making it, and certainly online in these certain private groups. Anyway, the point is, can you tell the difference between the name of a band and a perceived ethnic slur? An insult, if you will, can you? Well, one man who's going to try is called Jimmy. Hello, Jimmy.
Hello.
Good to talk to you, Jimmy. Very good to talk to you this afternoon. What do we find you doing this afternoon, Jimmy? Where are you?
I am just doing a spot of digital marketing, but normally I am actually on the road playing shows as a musician.
Ah, so you're in a band, which gives you a kind of head start, I suppose. You know. So.
Yeah, I've now dropped myself in it because I should now get nothing wrong. But,
that's true.
I probably shouldn't have said that at all, really.
Well, too late now, Jimmy. So, what's the name of the band you're in?
The Modern Strangers.
When I say you're in, I don't mean like we. I mean the band that you're in. Well, that was a critical assessment of your music.
I'm not familiar with the band you're in. No, I don't know them.
No, good. They're Russian. They play in Moscow hotel rooms in support of Donald Trump. Anyway, sorry, what did you say you were called? I wasn't listening.
No, quite all right. The Modern Strangers.
The Modern Strangers, excellent. And what sort of music do you play, Jimmy?
It's kind of 70s meets a kind of new indie pop mix, really.
Kind of like the sound of that, if I'm honest. That's good.
Yeah, a little bit disco.
And how long have you been doing it?
About a year and a half for this one.
All right, good. Well, look, here's what's going to happen. So we've got a game for you. You're going to be playing against paid intern Cornelius.
Hello.
Who is here?
I am here.
He's not in a band, so he won't have much clue about that. But he's racist. So that he's going to be clued in on this. All right. So what you've got is basically some insults or right. band names. All right. All you've got to do is tell me if it's a band or an insult. That's it. Okay, it's very simple. All right. Okay. So it's Jimmy versus Cornelius. Here we go. Alphabetical order, of course. Ginger producer Dave is keeping score.
Yes.
Right. So Jimmy versus Cornelius. As I say, alphabetical order. Cornelius first. Cornelius. Red Indian.
Slur.
No, not really. Not in this case. Well. There's a DJ called DJ Red Indian. So that's technical class music, isn't it? So that's fine. No points. Honky tonk. Jimmy.
Oh, I would say after the piano, that would be a band.
It is a band, of course. They're a bluegrass outfit.
Close.
Honky tonk. The Honky Tonk Bar and Grill. Cornelius, wetback.
Well, that's a slur.
Do you know which one?
Yeah.
It's a Canadian term, which they use to refer to English people.
Oh.
Canadians, English people. Wetback.
Is it?
Yes, it is. Fatback.
What was that one, sorry?
Fatback.
I haven't heard that, so I'm going to go with band again.
It is, the Fatback Band. They're a 1970s band. You should, it's a 1970s style musician. You should check them out.
This is where I get all my influences.
There you go, yeah. Frog, Cornelius. In the context of this quiz.
Slur.
No, it's a band. They're a New York...
No, for French people.
No, not in the context of this quiz. That's a New York rock band. So there you go. Mahogany Frog. Jimmy.
I haven't heard that, but I'm going to go slur.
No, they're a jazz band from Canada.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, they sound quite good. I quite love that. Cornelius Black.
I wouldn't say that's a slur,
it's not
a band.
It's a band. Black, Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
You know, remember the song?
No.
Okay. It was a number one hit, I think. Blue. Jimmy.
Band.
Yes. Cornelius. Yellow.
Slur.
No, band. They did that song, The Race. They did the song, The Race. Sooty and Sweep, Jimmy.
Can I have all my future answers as bands, please?
yes, you can. I was rather hoping Cornelius would do the same, but turns out not. But anyway, children's puppets, Sooty and Sweep. You remember?
Yeah.
You remember. Yeah. All right, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no
band
points.
Band then?
Well, no points, because they're puppets. Anyway, Skippy.
I've been advised to answer band.
Skippy.
You say, band.
Yeah, hip-hop. Yeah, Skippy. Monkey finger. I'm guessing...
Oh, Monkey Finger.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go with band again.
Yes, they are a band. They're a folk band from the beautiful city of Bath. Monkey Finger. Pac-Man. Cornelius.
Band.
Yes, that's right. Named after the famous 80s arcade game. Paddy McAloon. Jimmy.
It sounds like a horrible kind of cake. Paddy McAloon.
Yeah.
I have never heard of it, and I'm gonna
say band. Yeah, he's the singer at Prefab Sprout. He's in Prefab Sprout. Paddy McAloon.
Right.
He's in Prefab Sprout. Gypsy Kings. Come here.
Band.
Yes. Absolutely. Oh, an excellent band as well. Gypsy Tart.
Band again?
Yes, named after the cake. Yeah, that's right. Schnitzel Fritz. Cornelius.
Band.
Yes, a heavy metal band from Minnesota.
Yeah.
Have you noticed how they're all bands? Have you noticed that? Yeah.
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 I've been making the scores and I'm amazed. Yeah. So many of them have got it wrong.
Jimmy, finally, band or thing, Brown Girl in the Ring.
Well, Cornelius has just texted me saying the answer's band. So.
Yes, a tribute to Boney M, of course, as you'd expect them to be. So,
thanks for that one, Cornelius.
Very, very good. Producer Dave. Ginger.
Yes.
That's band.
That's
nice slur.
One of the...
John Holmes on the Now Show.
Band. What's the score? What's the score?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, go on, go with the score. Go, the score is...
Cornelius has scored 6 points.
6 points, yeah.
Which means...
Yes, Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Yeah.
I scored 7 points.
He's got 7 points. He's the winner of the game.
Yeah!
Hey, well done, Jimmy. Good work.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I'm very well practiced with my slur, so it's really paid off.
It really has. And where might we see Modern Strangers live, Jimmy? Where would we find you? Would we find you on the internet and stuff?
We just did Radio 1's big weekend.
Very good.
A couple of weekends ago. Nice. So now
Dave,
we're.
You were
now
there.
I was there.
Did you see Modern Strangers, Dave?
No, I was watching Katy Perry.
Okay.
Ouch. No, BBC and Shooting Stage in fairness.
Very good. Right.
We've got Islington on Saturday.
Yep.
We've got one tomorrow in London as well.
All right, good stuff. Modern Strangers there, that's Jimmy. He's from East Sussex and he plays in a band. Knows his stuff. All right then, 5 to 4. That's just about it from us. Sam Delaney is with you next. Is Sam Delaney coming in? Yeah, all right, well, he's not here yet.
Some shrugging going on.
So no one knows where Sam is.
He's just updated his Facebook status, I've just seen. So.
Oh, has he? So what does it say?
Should we just sit quiet? He should be going in to do a handover. Yeah.
Got radio soon, lol. Not
radio.
Going in studio, lol. Just going to sit here, lol.
We just sit here and wait for him.
Yeah, silence.
So Sam Delaney.
It's got the whole...
I'm going to play a trick on him as he comes.
Coming up next, Sam Delaney.
And that's who I think you should vote for. Oh, hi, Sam.
Sam Delaney's in the room now.
Hi, everyone.
It took time, we see, to update your Facebook status, rather than...
I wasn't on Facebook.
Just seen you. Just updated your status.
That was about, like, 40 minutes ago.
Fair enough.
It was a disappointing status update. I posted a link that didn't materialise into a picture. and now everyone thinks I'm trying to probably spread a virus or something.
Or perhaps be in charge of the Twitter account at Talk Radio.
Yeah, exactly. I'm well qualified for that role.
So, how are you, Sam Delaney? What's on your show?
Polls.
Yes. Good.
Very interested in polls. That's why I actually posted that link about. You can click on it, Dave Cribb. There's no problem here. You won't die.
You sure?
Yeah, it's all about polls. Where Nate Silver, who is the famous American pollster, who usually gets things right, unlike our pollsters, has done his own analysis and says that Theresa May is only within a very small polling error of losing this election, or at least of not getting her majority, which is exactly what he said about Donald Trump, in as much as when they went into the presidential election, he said all the polls point to a Hillary Clinton victory, but they are only within a very small error of Trump being in the White House.
Mm.
And that's what materialised. What do we make of all that? Well, I'll be joined by Bob Worcester, King of the Pollsters.
Yep.
Who lives in a massive medieval castle in Kent.
Does he?
He used to be the Chancellor of my old university.
Well, there you go. Canterbury.
Yeah. And then Gavin Esler took over.
Okay.
So you can ask him about that.
Right. And I'll be speaking to him live from his medieval castle, nice, where he will tell us officially who is going to win the election. And this is the only station where we'll be revealing the result of Thursday's election today.
Good stuff. Thank you very much indeed. Sam Delaney with you next on Drive. It's Talk Radio. We're back tomorrow, 1 till 4 in the afternoon. I'm John Holmes.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
As the nation gets ready to go to the polls, don't miss Talk Radio's dedicated election 2017 coverage.
Join the conversation party
on your election station, Talk Radio.